lone highway. Rest up creeps by on the lone highway. Pretty girls beware on the lone highway. On the lone highway. And welcome to Operation Scorpio. Today's date is August 20, 2022. And welcome to the free-range open-air insane asylum we call Earth. Well, guys, here we are. Here we are entering into the age of perpetual crisis. Yes, the age of perpetual crisis, a merry-go-round of emergencies. Clown world emergencies, of course. Where a new emergency rears its head on a daily basis. And I just want to check with the chat room, make sure that you guys are hearing me good on Speak Free. Yeah, an age of bullshit. That's right. So we got a new emergency almost every day, right? We got COVID. Now we're entering a monkeypox pandemic. War in Ukraine. World war. Nuclear war. A nuclear accident as the result of the war in Ukraine. Climate change. Drought. Power grid shortage. Famine. Did I miss anything, guys? that seems to be the big ones. I'm sure a new one will appear tomorrow. It's interesting, too, how the whole Islamic terrorism thing has magically disappeared, at least for now. I guess those jihadi guys are just taking a little break. They haven't been called onto the stage yet. You're not in this act. Wait till act number four, then we'll call you in. We'll call you back in on the stage. And I think we all have to keep in mind that every one of these emergencies have been cooked up for your reaction. They've been cooked up by the International Elf Cabal. The powers that should not be, as Andy Hitchcock likes to say, the forces that are trying to create the necessity for world government. There's no other choice. We have global problems that need global solutions, like monkeypox, COVID, and climate change. And what gets me is this whole monkeypox thing, you know, aside from being absurd, just from the sound of it, it's so obviously suspicious. I mean, we were supposedly, you know, emerging from a once-in-a-100-year pandemic here. And yet, here we are sitting on top of a new so-called viral emergency. And, you know, it's really funny, the psychological tools being used against us. It really is. And, you know, it's interesting. There's, you know, panels of psychologists that work for the government, work for intelligence agencies. And their full-time job is to figure the best way to manipulate the minds of the public. And, you know, my eldest uncle, who... you know, was a underwater demolition team guy in Korea. And he worked for NASA, and he got involved in military intelligence, Navy intelligence, and got involved in that whole world and got kicked out of it. It's always a mystery is exactly what happened, but he got kicked out of it and was honestly quite paranoid for the rest of his life. Strange things happened to him. He was definitely monitored for the rest of his life. And he became a psychologist. And he was actually a psychologist that worked for NASA doing tests on the original astronauts. Yeah. And, you know, he used to constantly warn me of the dangers of using psychologists to work for government or intelligence agencies or even big corporations, because big corporations employ them as well. He always used to talk about how incredibly dangerous that is. But anyway, it's interesting. We're seeing the use of, you know, psychological techniques on this monkeypox vaccine. Guys, there's not enough monkeypox vaccine. There's a shortage. There's a shortage. Which is a great way to make something more valuable in people's minds, right? Oh, there's not enough. Better get yours now. Hurry. It's not a bad business model that they're working with. Create the appearance of a shortage to increase demand. It's a basic psychological capitalistic tool there, guys. But of course, we're supposed to believe that, you know, these vaccine makers are beyond that kind of thinking. They're out there looking to serve the greater good and heal mankind and whatnot. It's amazing the kind of childlike fairy tale thinking that we're constantly fed. And of course, any excursion away from that kind of thinking leads you into the world of conspiracy theories, which is very dangerous. I'm going to hit upon that a little bit later here, because we are seeing an attack upon conspiracy theories like we've never seen. I mean, they're a little spooked that they're losing control of the narrative. And of course, a conspiracy theory is just a way to explain how this world actually works, how power operates. So they're saying that due to the shortage of monkeypox vaccines, they're going to give people a 1/4 dose. And they're saying, hey, isn't this wonderful? We're going to give you a 1/4 dose. It's still going to work. It's great. But if you think about it, that means that they were injecting 4 times the amount needed to supposedly have a result. Not that I believe anything about what these vaccines supposedly do, but do the math, right? They were injecting people with 4 times the amount. So does that mean that, you know, the price charged to the government is going to be 1/4 the price? I don't think so. Because all the vaccines are magically free. Yes, they're free. Free to the public. Because we care about public safety. And they've admitted, you know, we don't even know if this vaccine is really safe. Never tested it out on a grand scale. Not yet. We're doing that now. So roll up your sleeve. And we don't even know if, you know, what the connection is between this bubonic Jew jab for so-called coronavirus and this new outbreak. There probably is some kind of connection. And now, you know, they're pushing this idea that there's like new viruses emerging all the time. And now there's this new virus. They're saying it's a new virus, guys. The tomato flu virus. And I just caught this article. It's just so absurd. Medics in India have warned of a new virus, which appears to be infecting children and cause a painful rash dubbed tomato flu. It's already infected 82 children. Oh my God, out of how many people in the world? It's an emergency. And Dr. Shabush Chanda, assistant professor of internal medicine at Amirti Hospital in India. It's not a fatal disease, but it is contagious and can spread from person to person. And then listen to this guy's advice. Patients who develop tomato fever should drink plenty of fluids, rest in bed, and stay well hydrated. Wow. Thank you, Mr. Expert. I never would have thought of that on my own. That's amazing. Thank you so much for that. And here's the thing. According to The Lancet, a peer-reviewed medical journal, tomato flu appears to be a new virus that is likely spread through close contact. And it got its name because of the outbreak of red blisters, which can grow to the size of a tomato. Similar to the monkeypox rash, says The Lancet. That's really incredible. And of course, you know, they really do want to keep people afraid from interacting as they try to reshape reality. And of course, it's all linked to climate change. Climate change is making new viruses more active. And of course, you know, there's really nothing new under the sun. So it looks like they've been playing around in laboratories, or this is linked to some kind of injected so-called vaccine. I don't believe that new viruses are just emerging because of climate change. I mean, this is, you know, quintessential clown world science, kind of like testing wastewater. Let's see what we find in wastewater. My God, there's bacteria and all kinds of weird stuff in here. Amazing. Who would have thought? And of course, you know, in other news, you know, we're seeing the creation of a grand play here. You know, a great narrative that is intended to stir up both sides of the political spectrum. All we have is the left and the right. That's it. To stir up both sides into this, into a frothing lather, you know, kind of the ultimate exercise in let's you and them fight. And of course, this entire theater ultimately revolves. I mean, it's really quite incredible, the tale that's being weaved, and it all weaves together. And the central point, the hub, is Donald Trump. And we're seeing a situation where essentially all, you know, opposition to this agenda is being put into the Trump basket, the basket of deplorables. And it's absolutely crucial to see here too that repetition is the key to effective propaganda. That is the key, repetition. We hear the same message over and over and over. They did it with COVID. You're going to die. Stay inside. Wear a mask. Be afraid. We had, what, over a year of that just drummed into people's minds worldwide. And now they're drumming in this idea that, well, there is it's actually a grand conspiracy theory, really. But it's a government-approved conspiracy theory, so it's okay. It's only those unapproved conspiracy theories that are dangerous. That's where things get dangerous, guys. It's a grand conspiracy theory that, you know, Donald Trump caused this insurrection, which of course is a misuse of words. It was essentially a self-guided tour with FBI agents and undercover operatives acting as Judas goats to get a lot of gullible people to go inside that building and walk around, take a self-guided tour. That's really all it amounted to. But no, it's an insurrection. And now suddenly we have, you know, this great threat because of the raid on Trump's house for these important documents that need to go in the National Archives. Yeah, I mean, and it's really funny too how, you know, not long ago the so-called left was very suspicious of the police or federal officials having too much power, right? And the old left would have wanted to see, well, we need to see what's in this, you know, search warrant, and we need to see all the information. This is, you know, too much power for the government. But instead, you hear the left saying, well, it would actually be a risk to national security to give too much information out. We can't do that. And it really shows you how the whole idea of liberal and conservative doesn't really mean anything the way it used to. I mean, what do conservatives actually stand for? It's a good question. Not a whole lot. So now we have all these so-called supposed, you know, threats to the FBI. There's all this dangerous, right-wing rhetoric. And people are calling the FBI and threatening the FBI, which I don't believe for a minute. I don't think there's that many people stupid enough to call from a phone that's linked to their name. You know, it's not like there's pay phones anymore. You know, call from a phone that's linked to your name and spout off some ridiculous threat to FBI agents. I just don't believe that. You know, I'm sure there's been one or two crackpots that have done that. But the idea that this is some great grand threat is absurd. And of course, the big part of this big narrative is the wrong words lead to violence. So you need to be very careful what you say, because otherwise it might lead to violence. And now they're saying there's an unprecedented threat level against federal agents. It's unprecedented, guys. It's never happened before. And they're already bringing back the specter of Oklahoma City. This kind of rhetoric was seen on the internet or on right-wing circles. I guess the internet wasn't really involved back then, but we're already seeing the same kind of rhetoric from the right wing before Oklahoma City. This is very, very dangerous. And they could be setting the stage for some kind of false flag attack. And I think the other possibility is they might be setting the stage to arrest Donald Trump and just watch the fireworks go off. Of course, it'd all be a big show trial. The arrest of the hero. This really is just an obvious scripted play, but we'll see which way it goes. It's hard to say right now, but they're building up to a crescendo here. But, you know, I don't think there's a real attack on FBI agents. There might be people calling in saying, hey, you guys are out of control. You know, this is nonsense. You guys have too much power. Your organization has become politicized. And of course, it's been my contention that the FBI has been a deeply corrupt organization at the top since the very beginning. I mean, J. Edgar Hoover, the nation's top law enforcement official, actually used to deny the existence of the mafia publicly. There's no such thing. That's a conspiracy theory. Of course, he had a good reason for denying that, because they had, some photographs of him, unsavory photographs that he may not want to have to seen public. But we hear all this talk about right-wing rhetoric, and it's never defined. What is that exactly? What is the right wing? What do they stand for? What do conservatives stand for other than, you know, limiting abortion? And hey, I get it. Abortion is not a good thing, but the idea that you're going to hand over more power to something that you're not going to stop. The only way you can stop abortion is through moral teaching of people to change their behavior through a moral code. It's like saying, well, hey, drugs are bad. We got to make them illegal. Well, look what's happened. This whole war on drugs has been an absolute disaster. And it's resulted in millions upon millions of people being locked up in jail. And really all it's done is drive up the value of drug prices. It hasn't stopped it. You can go to any city, pretty much anywhere in the world, and buy illegal drugs if that's what you want to do. But again, that I think that can only be stopped through a moral code that people live by, not through the barrel of a gun from government. And this government's already so out of control, the idea of giving them any more power to possibly put people in jail, I don't think it's a good idea. But either way, in the grand scheme of things, in terms of political power and where the world is going, abortion isn't something that's going to change the system very much. It's sort of this highly emotional, you know, subject that people get all ratcheted up with, but it doesn't really lead anywhere. And it's a great place to lead people into. They can argue about it till the end of time, while people who are actually going for power can do what they want to do. And it's all of this is part of the bifurcation of reality, the psyop, where if you turn on Fox News or one of these other news, you know, the left or the right, you get a completely opposite story. And all of it revolves around Donald Trump, who I believe is an actor and playing his part in this grand bit of theater. And I think what we have to realize here, guys, is that we're entering into a war where political beliefs really don't mean a whole lot. Not as much as we think. Because we're entering into a war over the control of natural resources and energy production. So there's really two prongs. You've got natural resources, which part of that is energy production, the control of all natural resources, and then population reduction. That's the real war we're entering into. And, you know, getting caught up in left versus right, that supersedes all of that, doesn't it? I mean, we're talking about a war for absolute control over the natural resources and the energy production of the planet and the management of the human herd. How big will the human herd be? We're dealing with raw power here, guys. And natural resources are what it's all about. That's what the New Green Deal is all about. We're seeing that start to manifest now in this Inflation Reduction Act, or as I call it, the Clown World Manifestation Act. And it's like the population is supposed to sort of buy into it. It's a new religion, just like COVID was kind of a religion, with the vaccine is the holy sacrament. Part of this new religion is going to be saving the earth and altering everything we do to save the earth. Eat bugs. Even though that is a very dangerous proposition. So we're seeing this construction of this grand play, and there's different ways it could go. You know, some people are saying they want to lead us into civil war. I don't think people have the stomach. Where people are too domesticated to have a real civil war like the first one. We're a long ways from that. This is all, it's just like this wasn't an insurrection. It was a self-guided tour. So it's a lot to think about, guys. This is this play is just beginning, and they're going to keep it rolling for all the way through the next year or so into 2024 as they dismantle our civilization and take absolute control of natural resources and the production of energy. That's what counts, not the political theater we're all supposed to react to emotionally. And that said, I would like to bring on my main man, my partner in crime, and my brother from another mother, Mr. Giuseppe, formerly from the District of Criminals. Giuseppe, how are you, sir?
Well, brother, I am living the dream, and I guess I was working in the background while you were doing your excellent intro with Paul to see why you didn't hear your song, your intro song. So our next test will be everything's set up correct virtually with all the virtual cables and everything. It's the same as yesterday. It worked great yesterday. So I guess the next test will be if you hear the top of the hour break. So we'll just, everyone's hearing you and treasuring you. And so we'll just have to see if you can hear the top of the hour. And if not, we'll continue to try to understand. So, yeah, man, you're making all the right points. And I'll tell you, I'm really looking forward to today's hour two and hour three, because I was listening to a lot of Dennis Fecho's show. That guy is just... What a brilliant, lucid individual. And then hour three is the legend Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, and both gentlemen are truly legends of indie media and have been doing this and making a difference for a long time. And so it's going to be a 5-star show today, I think, Dave.
Yeah, I believe Dennis Fecho is the newest addition over here at Speak Free, but he's been plugging away at his message for going on 12 years.
So yes, that, it's over 12 years. August 6th, when he joined Speak Free, was his 12-year anniversary that day. That's why he did it on
wow.
That day. Yeah.
That's awesome. And then hour three, Andy Hitchcock, another legend, author of a book that's truly a legend, you know, Synagogue of Satan. Is when it came out, I believe it was in about, 2008 did it come out? That's when I first saw it.
Yep, I think so, right around then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the impact that book had on the internet and on, you know, at that time, you know, forums were really popular. That book just swept through everything. It was huge,
right?
Really huge. It made a giant impact. And Andy is just a top shelf individual a man. And so... it's good to have people like that in the struggle who really have a real moral code that they live by, and not someone who just sort of looks for the next bit of, you know, hedonistic pleasure in moving on to the next one. You know, quite the opposite, in fact.
Yeah, and it'll be cool, Dave, on September 5th, Labor Day, you and I are actually going to be guests on the Limeys with Andy and Maleficus, so that will be awesome. So that's going to be fun. Wanted to be on the Limeys. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So let me get your take. You know, you have the medical background. Have you heard of this tomato virus, tomato flu thing? I mean,
well, here's the deal with all these Rockefeller snake oil operatives and the vast level of quackery that is virology and immunology, is they always name these maladies that break out a virus, right? So who knows what it is? Could be some type of allergen, could be some toxin, could be some type of contagion. But no, I haven't heard of that particular one. But to me, it just seems like more nonsensical fear porn. And I would say there's a 90%+ likelihood it's just a side effect of the bubonic Jew jab in some capacity. Because the children are getting a lot of Jew jabs. It's tragic. It's murderous.
That's a great point. Like in California, I know by high school, young people have to have something like 57 vaccines.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, and we several months ago, we posted that meme graphic where it's the great grandmother, the grandmother, the mother, and the little baby girl daughter, four generations, and they're holding the signs. They're holding the signs that that's really weird. Oh wow, my camera's really behind. It doesn't matter, but
it's weird.
Yeah, that is really weird. The great grandmother's holding the sign. I had three vaccines. Right, it was probably like polio and whatever else back then in the 50s. And then the mother had like I had eight vaccines. You know, so then you got the MMR and all those other scams. And then the mother had I had 22 vaccines. And then the little girl, the money shot, I will have 88, and the agenda is to up that number to 224, 227, something like that. I mean, it's just so criminal, Dave. It's just, you know, the synagogue of Satan, the overlords, the totalitarians, the new world order, the great reset people, they do want one world government, and one of their key methods of enslavement is this authoritarian medical quackery. The World Health Organization is nothing but horse shit piled on dog shit piled on bullshit. Everything they say, do the exact opposite, you'll live a healthy life. Same with the CDC, which is just a joke that Jew shrew Rochelle Walensky, as Dennis Fetchel made a great point in his show, he goes, is now saying, oh, we made a lot of mistakes. No, Dennis and I have said the same thing. You didn't make any mistakes. You intentionally created this scamdemic and facilitated this illegal and immoral global experiment on the human herd, the goyim cattle, by this dangerous, untested, unproven quackery known as mRNA in a genetic modification. Every one of those people, like Dennis said, should be held to account. They should have all immunity lifted, and they should be tried as mass murdering criminals, and all of them should hang. That is the only way to deal with this now.
You know, that's a great point. And, you know, since when you have a, you know, an organization that completely screwed it up, did everything wrong, you know, all these mistakes, since when does the same person stay in charge? Well, we're going to fix everything, but I'm still going to be in charge.
Right.
In a normal world, that person would be gone. You'd be out of there completely. You'd clear out all the top management and bring in new people.
Yes, absolutely. Which applies to every level of the control by these traitors, these synagogue of Satan minions, these literal amoral psychopathic demons that are in every level of federal control right now. I mean, they are all none. The whole, you know, the system would work if what was intended by the founders of this nation, of the people, by the people, for the people, and up to 30, 40 years ago, you pretty much had that, right? There were always the banking parasites. There were always the oligarchic parasites wielding more power than it deserved. But they all feared the working class. They all feared the military. They all feared the middle class. And that's why they threw us all a lot of benefits, right? So my father could have a small business, bleach business, back in the 60s and 70s. And my mother didn't need to work, and he had five kids, and we had a very decent working class life, right? Is that the case today? No, not at all. And so the shift that's occurred beginning in the 80s and is now insane is for this movement towards this new world order, this one world government, this transnational control of everything. And it's never more obvious than in the abject quackery of Jewish-controlled big pharma and all the lunacy of these decent working drugs, no more obvious than our dear friend Dr. Judy Mikovits discovered that you could use Suramin, a drug created by Bayer many decades ago, to bring out these vaccine-damaged autistic children. And what did they do? They immediately pulled it off the market. That's the level of evil that the satanic Jew constantly brings to the table in their insane goal to destroy this planet and take control of it at the same time. It's just, it is beyond the pale, Dave.
It is. And, you know, one of the chatters, Jews Triangle, saying, you know, you don't want to reform the CDC, you want to get rid of it. I agree with that.
Exactly.
I was just saying in the context of she's supposedly going to reform her own organization, something that she screwed up, or actually, as you point out, actually just following orders.
Yeah.
So there's so many parts of this federal government that this should not even exist. I think it's beyond repair anyway. The entire federal government is beyond repair, except for maybe a skeleton crew. You know, the Department of Education, CDC, the Homeland Security, the FBI, so many of these things just don't really serve a purpose beyond creating a control grid over every aspect of people's lives. That's what it's all coming down to. And the idea that you're going to reform any of this stuff is absurd. I think it's going to be dawn on more and more people that this government is there to control every aspect of your life and, in fact, destroy your life. You know, you made a great point with how a man could work and support an entire family in a middle-class lifestyle. That's really not possible, except for, you know, very high-paying jobs. Now you have to have both members of the family working, and with this incredible inflation, which I think is somewhere between 25% and 50%, depending on what item you're talking about. That's an incredible theft. It's a covert tax. It's a theft of wealth. And there's no logical reason why you should have inflation at that level. It's planned. It's done on purpose.
Yes, 100% accurate, Dave. And, you know, letting the Jew shrew Walensky reform the CDC and, oh, we'll learn from our mistakes is like letting a fox in your hen house. The fox kills and eats every chicken. And so you're going to say, Mr. Fox, I'm bringing in another load of chickens and I'm asking you now to reform yourself, change your ways, and just everything will be okay, right? It's the exact same thing's going to happen. So it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I promise.
That's it. That's it. And, you know, here's something great by Lick You All Over for 25 cents. I believe Dave Scorpio has a quarter. CNN is airing a special on anti-Semitism. Here's your guide to what it will cover. CNN will be airing a program on anti-Semitism this week. People are catching on to their bullshit, or they wouldn't be discussing their paranoia on TV. Yeah, they're gonna double down completely. But the only solution is to spread the word and name the Jew. No more Zionist, no more communist, no more, you know, I mean, you can use those, but basically you need to say it's the Jew alongside every time you use those words. And it's just such a joke. I mean, it's time for the happy merchant chicken swingers to go away and be marginalized to 2% of everything. 2% of media involvement, 2% of government involvement, 2% of academic involvement, 2% of corporate involvement, 2% of everything. So that parallels their minute participation in the population levels, right? These parasites are punching so far above their weight class, it's absurd. The only way to get rid of them in practical terms is to just name the Jew and never believe any other lie except the Jew did it. the Jew did it, and that's it, because that's really the truth. You look at every malady, every woe the first world has right now, it's because, wait for it, the Jew did it. Yeah.
Well, and you just, you know, there's so many ways to prove your contention here. Just look at the overrepresentation within the CDC, beginning with Michelle Walensky, the overrepresentation of the, you know, people behind the bubonic Jew jab. And it's not like you just made up that name for fun. That there's a reason why you call it that, because so many, you know, international Jews are involved in the creation and pushing of this, of the vaccine and the whole narrative of it. And then you look at the overrepresentation within Joe Biden's cabinet and all these top level officials. I mean, it's crazy. It's something like 80 something percent of all the top people are Jewish. And where's the diversity, guys? That's all a one way street. It's all a twisted path to confuse the goyim cattle. And yeah, I mean, look at this. And you've got memes for Congress people, senators, the top people in Biden's cabinet. The list goes on. Hollywood, banking, and we're supposed to not see that. And of course, if you see that, you're an anti-Semite. You're a bad person. And I think this narrative is going to wear thin as things really get bad enough where it's actually affecting, you know, the average normie. It's so getting that bad where yeah.
I call it the bubonic Jew jab for this reason. All of every major corporation, Pfizer, the Jubaka Borla, Moderna, Stefan Bancel, psychopathic chicken swinger, GSK, GlaxoSmithKline, Emma Walmsley, Jew, Novavax, head guy, Stanley Erck, Jew, Sanofi, Serge Weinberg, gee, I think he's South Korean, maybe. No, of course not. He's a Jew. AstraZeneca, Leif Johansson, who has taken on a European name, much like Moshe Garfinkel took on Merrick Garland. Leif Johansson, Jew. Johnson & Johnson, Alex Gorsky. The Jews control BlackRock, who funds it all. The Jews control Vanguard, who is a secondary funder. The Jews control Goldman Sachs, third funder. I mean, it's just so beyond belief. This is literally the bubonic Jew jab attack on the first world to seek to wipe out the white race and simultaneously enslave the rest of the planet. It can't be more obvious, and the other thing, Dave, is I don't even care. I mean, it's a tell right now, right? Where if you're a weak-minded shithead, you wear a mask. The second similar tell is if you describe anyone as an anti-Semite, you are a weak-minded shithead. That is, if you can't see beyond that, that's just an ad hominem deflection by the Jew, then you deserve to get quadruple boosted, because that's how weak-minded you are.
Yeah, and what is, again, let's go into definition of words. What does anti-Semite mean? Is it just like this irrational hatred of people who are Jewish, or are we talking about analyzing who is in control of the system and where they're trying to steer it? And I think part of this narrative of, you know, the childlike version of what they tell the normies is that everything happens by accident. There's no intentional things going on. It's just a matter of incompetence or a mistake, or there's no grand scheme here. It's just, we're just sort of moving along aimlessly. And in fact, you know, all of creation, there is no creation. It's all just meaningless. It's all just a random series of events. That's what we're supposed to believe when, you know, exact opposite is the truth. There is a creation, things are connected, and there is a grand scheme afoot here, and it's very easy to trace it. You know, last night on your excellent show with Malefica Scott, you know, some of the protocols from the Learned Elders of Zion were read, and gosh, you know, if that isn't a real document, whoever wrote that sure had some kind of psychic ability, because everything in there is precisely what's happening.
Makes Nostradamus look like a piker, that's for sure. And so clearly what's stunning is that these, you know, Balians, these Satanists, these you know, worshiping a dark, dark entity have been doing this so long. And as we've discussed before, we're both deeply spiritual seekers and been studying this for, you know, 50 years going on for both of us. We'll never stop studying. You never learn at all. But the obvious thing is that the coach, if you want to use a sports metaphor, the coach is otherworldly and above our standard flow of time and can see how to implement a generational game plan. Whereas people like us, we don't fall prey to the entrancement and the mind control. We see it all. We find other people like-minded, like the listeners and viewers, and like ourselves and the handful of our brothers in the independent media that we're close to. We all get it, but we have no game plan. We have no generational model to combat this. We're like, hey, we got to stop this. It's like literally, to go to a biblical metaphor, we are David and they're Goliath, and boy, do we need a slingshot right now.
That's true. But we are seeing signs of panic. You know, that thing that was posted a little bit ago in the chat about the CNN having a special on anti-Semitism and this absolute attack upon conspiracy theories. It shows they're getting nervous that unauthorized information is getting out there. And, you know, it was funny. I was monitoring the enemy war transmissions, known as the mainstream media, earlier today. And on two different things, like on one of those NBC channels on the internet, I just do it on the internet, they were right, talking about how, you know, dangerous conspiracy theories are and blah blah blah, and just insulting conspiracy theorists. Well, these people's entire lives rest upon a grassy knoll. That's what they do.
What a yeah, bunch
so
of
so stupid. You're yeah, such an idiot. Yeah, you know, yeah, yeah. And then NPR, when I was in the car earlier, had a thing about conspiracy. Oh, it's so dangerous. They're just making things up. It's none of it's true. And look at Alex Jones. He's the king conspiracy theorist. Look what happened to him. Isn't he terrible? Isn't he a liar? He admitted he's a liar. Blah, blah, blah. So I've never heard so much talk about conspiracy theory before, because before it was like they didn't want to talk about it because don't even think about that. It doesn't exist. And now they feel the need to try to combat essentially what amounts to, all it is unauthorized information and an unauthorized view of reality. That's all it is.
Wow. I mean, I was listening to the great Andy Hitchcock's, one of his daily shows last week, and he made such a great point, because we've had Dr. Lorraine Day on, I think, three or four times in the last 3 years, and she is a trip. She is really intense you know, God bless her. But one thing that Annie quoted her saying, because he does a monthly show with her, is Lorraine Day absolutely 100% lucidity said, there is no conspiracy theories. There are no conspiracy theories, rather. There is only truth or there are lies. And that is exactly how to look at that. None of this again, conspiracy theorists is just another ad hominem insult by hashtag name the Jew, name the traitor, hashtag name the CIA traitor, hashtag name the Jew. It's always the same. And if people, you're right, people are starting to dramatically wake up, because everyone now knows someone who has been literally maimed or murdered by the bubonic Jew jab. It's not the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. It's the 1 degree of, oh my God, they killed my grandmother. Oh my God, they killed the my child. Oh my God, they killed my sister. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah. And of course, the whole conspiracy theory word was cooked up to try to stop discussion of the JFK assassination. And that was cooked up by the CIA, as almost everyone listening knows. So I just like to use that term, because that's the term they like to throw around. Well, so be it. And, you know, the government throws around ludicrous conspiracy theories all the time, that, you know, two airplanes knocked down three buildings on 9/11. That's one hell of a conspiracy theory, you know, that they, you know, some primitive goat herders outsmarted the U.S. military, the military industrial complex, and all of the intelligence agencies. That's one hell of a conspiracy theory.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, I mean, as you, all, most listeners know, and you well know, but I'll say it anyway, that the whole reason, and it's so ironic that those traitorous gaslighters at enemy media bullshitters at NBC would try to be witty with the grassy knoll, because the whole point, the phrase conspiracy theorist entered the mainstream lexicon because the CIA was nervous so many people in the early 60s after Kennedy was ritually sacrificed and had his head blown off that were looking into it and seeing this couldn't have been Lee Harvey Oswald, an incredibly poor shot, making like a world-class sniper shot. And there's people who realized when they went up and looked at it, especially when they factored in the tree that used to be there that they took down, that is literally physically impossible to make that shot. There's no way he could have done it six different ways to Sunday, and yet we're all conspiracy theorists. What a joke. People need to wake up. Hashtag name the Jew. Hashtag name the traitor. So,
yeah. And, yeah, you know, Jesse Ventura has his limitations and, you know, whatever. But even he did a show years ago where they tried to reenact the shot using, you know, top Navy SEAL sharpshooters and other people. Nobody could make the shot. So it's pretty obvious that's all fantasy. Right. Everything that we're fed is fantasy. And, you know, all you got to do about 9/11 is say, hey, how did two planes knock down three buildings? It's never happened in the history of mankind with a steel girder building. I mean, come on, guys. It's just so absurd. But again, you're a conspiracy theorist if you go on that road. But I think all that's wearing thin. I think anti-Semite is wearing thin, too, as we just talk about evidence and who's behind things.
Hey, Dave, are you hearing the fade-in? You're hearing this?
No, I'm not. Okay, welcome back to hour number two of Operation Scorpio. And in this hour, we're going to be talking to a trailblazer in his own right, a man who wears sunglasses occasionally, and the newest addition to Speak Free Radio, even though he's been in this game for over 12 years now, Mr. Dennis Fecho. Dennis, how are you, sir?
You know, I'm doing pretty good, man. These glasses actually are pretty good with the lights in front of you. It's actually, now I know why you use your glasses, dude. This is all right.
They give me special ability to see as well.
I kind of look good, actually, guys. Maybe I should keep these glasses.
You look great, man. Do it.
You know, let's see. This is kind of Woody Allen-ish.
Yeah.
Can't be accused of being Woody Allen too often. All right, let's just do a Scorpio show. Let's go, guys. I'm ready.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show, and I'm, you know, everyone's really excited that you are here, you know, on Speak Free Radio now. So, what made you decide to take the jump into Speak Free Radio from the place you had been, I guess, Revolution Radio for 10 years?
Well, honestly, I think that my welcome there was kind of overstayed, if you want the truth about it. You know, we had brought you in and you changed your schedule, which was right behind me. Then we tried to bring in Blackbird to lead into my show. We would have had a killer lineup, you know what I mean? Blackbird, then me, then you guys here. It would have been a killer lineup. And they basically came in with the, we don't want all the Jew hate. And of course, they said the same to you, said that they wouldn't dare say that to me. Okay, they wouldn't dare. But being the veteran, they're not going to even try. And but I thought, you know what, this is not good. And then to be honest with you, the energy felt bad. I just felt there was a very bad energy going on there. I didn't feel comfortable with these. You know, there's just something about the energy that I didn't really like. And so I said, you know what, enough is enough. Let me go, because as you know, we were the top show there for a lot of years. And so let me go be a warm-up guy for you guys. And I'm coming over to be your warm-up now. And I'm happy with that. It's good.
Oh, it's great. Well, I don't really see it that way, Dennis. You're the elder statesman here, and you know, we both of us have listened to your shows on and off for years, and yeah, you know, I think our show was called 5 or 6 hours of hate, you know, because it was stacked together,
it, you know,
and if we added in Blackbird 9 to that, it would have been 8 hours of hate. It would have been too much.
So, it would have been awesome. You would have been the most hated show of the day, man, and it would have got the best ratings of all their days, but by far. And if you don't want ratings, you don't want to get this. Okay, you want to play this. I like you guys last week, you know, just kind of like ban people. I don't want to be a part of that. I want to be part of a free station where we can express ourselves and keep moving. So I'm happy with the change, by the way. I'm not doing Thursdays. I feel much more relaxed, a little bit more at peace now. I'm not having the stress on Thursday nights to come up with some content and then come back and do it again on Saturday. So it moves back an hour so I could more time during the day to just do the work I need to do and then come in, show up 6 o'clock. Come wintertime, it'll be 7 o'clock. It'll be kind of cool. So all's well and good, except for there's no time for dinner, so you're eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I'm not sure that's a great idea, but it's okay. There's nothing wrong with peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
I had one last night. Yeah,
so nothing wrong with it, man.
Well, Dennis, I want to just start off. We'll get Giuseppe in here, but I just want to start off with your take on, you know, this grand. Essentially, it's a conspiracy theory that the enemy war transmissions known as the mainstream media is weaving together. And of course, the central hub in all of it is Donald Trump. He started an insurrection, which is really just a self-guided tour that was, led by some FBI agents acting as Judas goats. And this whole idea that we have this horrible insurrection going on, and there's all these dangerous threats now against the FBI, which I don't believe any of that. It's all seems to be a way to limit the conversation, but it seems to me that they're trying to set up this ultimate game of let's you and them fight, and at the very center of all of it is Donald Trump. So I wanted to get your take on this grand drama that we're seeing unfolded before our eyes.
Well, it's just a huge cover-up for their own crimes. The insurrection was them on November 3rd. Bottom line. And then they solidified it on January 6th when they used it as an excuse to stop the debate on the votes. Again, they used it as an excuse to just drop the debate in the Senate and just go ahead and ratify the election and accept the electors. And that's what this was all about. It's really just to cover up what everybody knows in America now is a great crime, an act of treason by the deep state, by the Democratic National a committee, and we are staring at a country now that's been taken over by essentially what we call Jewish Chechas. You know, this is a communist takeover of our country, and they're just trying to cover it up and project everything onto Trump and his followers. And you're right, this was a guided tour into the White House. A lot of these people are actually going in between, my goodness, you know, you're going in between the velvet ropes, you know, even while you're there. You know what I mean? It's like, this is not an insurrection, guys. You know what's an insurrection is when you allowed Antifa to go through all of the cities and burn down $5, $10, $20 billion worth of property, kill 154 people. That was part of the insurrection that really culminated on the November 3rd. So for me, it's just a cover up, man. They're just desperate. They're trying to project onto Trump and everybody else that might be associated with Trump with something that they themselves are guilty of. And that's just par for the course for these guys.
Yeah, great way of putting it. And, you know, one of the real tells that this is all just theater is, you know, when they show these people scaling up the wall toward the Capitol building when the impenetrable bike racks had already been opened up. So people are going up the stairs, but here's people climbing up the wall. Just, it's great optics. Like, oh my God, look what's going on. This is so horrible. Giuseppe, why don't you jump in? Well,
go. I think Dennis wanted to jump in real quick. Go ahead, Dennis.
Go ahead, Dennis. Sorry.
I was just going to say, listen, if Congress thinks there's an insurrection, they'll know it when it happens. All right. That was not an insurrection. if they really want to keep playing this game, and that Congress is a criminal institution at this stage, they are participating in grand treason against the United States, against the people of the United States. They'll know when there's an insurrection. All right. Give us a break, guys. You'll know it. That was not an insurrection. You'll know when it actually comes. When it actually comes. And if they keep stealing the elections each and every time, really the signal to the American patriots is there's only one way out of this mess, and that's to fight your way out. They're trying to make it premature. They want to get this fight going before it's really cooked, if you know what I mean. I'm not saying there won't be a fight one day. If they keep stealing the country, what are the American people going to do? You know what I mean? What are they going to do? They're going to have no other way than to fight their way out of it. You got 20 million veterans. I'm sure a good percentage of them are just biding their time. But there's no insurrection, guys. You'll know it when it comes. That's all I want to say. And you should help us prevent it by allowing for a peaceful transition of power. That's all that you have to do. Just allow the peaceful transition of power. And that's what you've been fighting literally for probably who knows how long now. You know what I mean? Maybe going all the way back to World War II, for all we know. They certainly took Kennedy out. You know what I mean? They took Nixon out. So, okay, how long has this been going on? That would be my question.
Good question. Giuseppe, go ahead, sir.
Oh, I'm working with Paul trying to solve this issue that you guys can't hear the channel. But, Dennis, you know what was interesting to me is a couple weeks ago, the little boy rug muncher Rachel Maddow, the vile, traitorous, gaslighting Jew, was interviewing the even more vile Jonathan Goldblatt from the ADL, and they were vilifying Andrew Torba and Gab. And Torba would have none of it, and he replied back. He commented on their show live, and basically he sent a letter to everyone, including them, that we're tired of 2% of traitorous Jewish nationalists telling 70% plus of the Christians in America how to live. And so that's really got to be the message, don't you think? And what did you think of Torba standing up to those parasites?
First, I don't know why Torba banned me, man. I'm blocked from Torba, okay? For whatever reason, he blocked me. I'm not sure
why. That's weird.
All right? Strange. I don't. Maybe somebody told me maybe it's just a bot and they just kind of like banned me. But I like Torba on the personal level. I don't care if he banned me. I like him. I think he's done a great service to the Patriot community. I think he's dead on. You know what I mean? When he first started, he was not so to the point. And now when you come out and say, hey, we're tired of 2%. Of the population telling the rest of us how to live, at least he certainly gets it. He gets it. I'm all for the guy. I think he's done a great job. I like what he's doing. And considering all the resources, what can I say about the guy? You know what I mean? The guy seems to be a patriot. He certainly has allowed free speech. He does seem to be in support of the law enforcement services. You know, he likes to talk a lot about that. So if there are people on the platform trying to use this thing for violence, he cooperates with law enforcement. So that should keep him in good graces in certain channels, which we all need. So I like the guy. Yeah, awesome. You know, keep it up, dude. I know that he's talked about Christian nationalism. Certainly, it's a hell of a lot better than a Jewish nationalism, because that's what we have now, which is nothing but Talmud. So, okay, let's go with Torba, his idea. Again, he's part of our extended patriot family, so I like what he's doing. All right, just straight up.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I like how you put it. You'll know when there's an insurrection. It was so funny to see the cowards inside the Capitol building when they put their phony gas mask on, you know, this plastic bag with a little breather hole in it. Oh, what are we going to do? They're coming for us. You know, it was such theater, and so much of what we're presented as reality is just theater. You know, same, you know, obviously COVID is real to a certain degree, but the idea that, you know, millions of people were just dropping dead everywhere around the world was certainly greatly exaggerated. And a lot of those deaths were due to the treatment they were getting at the hospital.
Correct.
And so how do we counteract this false reality, this synthetic reality that's being presented that so many people believe? I do believe we're chipping away at it, but where do you see that in terms of progress, in terms of chipping away at this synthetic reality?
I saw some numbers the other day that the Democratic National Convention has, since 2019, put out over 50 plus billion impressions, okay? 50 plus billion impressions on social media, which means they are operating a massive bot farm to essentially push their narrative. And it is easily now broken apart within a day. If they don't even seem to try false flags anymore. They know they don't work. You know what I mean? Within one day, it just exposes them as being even worse. They can't do a false flag anymore. Maybe they're going to try, but you know what I mean. So for us, it's just keep telling the truth. One of our truths can nullify a million of their lies, if you know what I mean. So just keep telling the truth. For every truth that we put out into the ether, it's going to destroy X percent of their billions of bots. And that's what you're up against. They're not even using real people anymore. And people should wake up to this fact, and they're going to understand that, hey, the truth is on side. The numbers are on our side. Forget their bot farms. Just keep telling the truth and keep going after them. Literally go after them.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And that's why everything is met with an ad hominem. You're an anti-Semite or you're a conspiracy theorist. But if you start to actually talk about the issues and get the facts on the table, like exactly how did two planes bring down three buildings? Could you explain that to me, please? You know, once you start to get in that realm, oh, we can't talk about that. It's the hate. So they are short on facts and long on emotion.
For today, you know, I was like going down the road and all these freaking masks. I'm so tired of seeing people in masks. You know what I mean? I'm tired of seeing people in masks. Hmm. And it's like you had the CDC and everybody pushing the mask. And that virus, any virus, once it's exposed to ultraviolet light, is gone in a quarter second. You know what I mean? It's gone. Okay? That's assuming you believe in the viral theory, right? So basically, right. Even when Trump did his initial press release about the virus, they came out and said this thing lasts about a quarter second in the open air in the sunlight. Okay, well, if it lasts a quarter of a second, how in the hell are you going to transmit it from me to you in open air in a quarter second? What, I'm going to breathe your breath? I can't even kiss you that fast, okay? So it's like these guys that push this meme, these lies, seriously, to me, we need to go after them. Their heads need to roll. Screw these people. You know what I mean? They're not bigger than us. They're not more intelligent. They're like kids playing a game. But the problem is that the repercussions are people are dying. And enough is enough. They're playing a game. Like, they don't even care if people die. But to them, it's just a game. Okay, fine. You want to play this game? Hang your asses. Enough is enough. You want to play big boy stuff? Okay. Let's start playing big boy stuff. Rochelle, come on, man. There's your noose. Fauci, there's yours. Enough is enough. Because they're acting like they're kids just doing just pranks and stuff on humanity. But hey, it's not a prank. They're dying, dude. Everywhere I look, people are dying. You know, my feed is just filled with people dying. It's like I never had that before you played your game. Because that's to them, this is what it is. It's a game to make a lot of money. How can we screw over, use our assets to make a ton of money? Oh, and we can kill people and depopulate because Bill Gates is going to be happy. Screw these people. Honestly, screw them.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I have to agree. It's offensive to see people in masks. It's disturbing. It's offensive. And I'm over it. I still see people drive around in their cars with the windows up with their mask on. I even saw a guy the other day. He had a mask and a face shield and the windows up. So he's not taking any chances in life. So, Giuseppe, go ahead, sir.
You know, Dennis, to me, the solution is treat the Jew exactly as they treat us. And instead, people are like, the normies are like, I'm not an anti-Semite. No. I'm not a transphobe. I'm not a homophobe. I'm not a racist. Well, actually, you should be. You should champion your tribe, and you should not tolerate the deviance and the degeneracy of those fringe parasitic elements of our world. And so what you're a master communicator. What is your recommendation to people who, you know, should be hashtag name the Jew? Instead, they're cowering and worried about being called an anti-Semite. What's the rebuttal when someone calls you an anti-Semite?
I think I don't have like a stock one. You know what I mean? But to me, you always have questions at the ready. You know, just have some questions at the ready. You know, who do you think is behind what's going on? You know, just ask them a question. Let them think a little bit. Let them answer something themselves to try to bring out this this answer for them. Find ways that you know these individuals. Just start asking questions. Don't preach, because at that stage you're in a learning phase where they just can't handle being spoken to. So start asking questions. It would be my advice. I'd be like joking with them, like, okay.
Looks like Fetch, he should be back here. They're jamming the Fetch.
Yeah.
All right, Dennis is freezing up pretty bad. Dennis, you froze up for that whole explanation.
I saw that. Emotion. Like now. In a normal, and you don't know them, and even if you do know them, you have to treat them as if they're an egg. And in order to get to start to cook, you got to get the egg out, but you got to just crack the egg first. Before you can get your ideas into their heads, you got to crack that egg. You got to figure out a way to crack the shell. And for you and me and everybody else, it's a game. A little bit of doubt. That was always the thing that Christians would use, you know, Christian missionaries. You just got to get some doubt in their minds, and then you can preach the gospel of the Lord, you know, that type of thing. And it's just basic common persuasion techniques or tactics. You got to find and get a way to get doubt in their head. Once you get the doubt in their head, now you're in a position to start giving them information. Without the doubt, they're just strong. They're firm. They're like, they're not going to talk to you. I know what I'm talking about. Okay. It ain't going to help. So figure out a way without having a stock answer. The real answer is find a way to spread doubt in their mind. Once you got the doubt in their minds, it gets much easier.
Yeah, that's a good point. Dennis, I wanted to ask you, too, about, you know, you're there in Saudi Arabia. And here in America, it really seems like so much of the COVID narrative is really started to fall apart on multiple fronts. You know, doubts about this so-called vaccine are even starting to infiltrate into a little the edges of the mainstream media. I'm hearing talk on terrestrial radio, just regular radio stations, you know, in San Diego and Los Angeles. There's been a few people that have come on various shows on television even saying, hey, this something's not right here. I don't see this as an effective vaccine. They've had doctors on saying, I don't think this is an effective vaccine, and it may not be safe. So, you know, the message is starting to seep outward from what we've been saying for the last, you know, over a year, almost 2 years. So what are things like in Saudi Arabia? Is that same sort of process happening in your part of the world, or how do you see that?
I'll tell you what. Here, as you guys know, talk about it doesn't mean it's true. But I'll still talk about it, and maybe you can believe me or not. But my relations are good. They're really good. And that includes the senior levels of many areas, and that includes the Ministry of Health. And so I have had the opportunity from day one to provide information. It goes directly into the senior leadership of the Ministry of Health. They didn't listen to me. This was a global plan. You know what I mean? It was a global plan. However, by, let's say, February, March of this past year, the word came out that we're done with COVID. We're absolutely done, 100% done. We're done with it. We're finished. And so there's been absolutely zero talk of COVID. You still got the knuckleheads out there wearing their masks. But from what I understand at the senior level, COVID is done. Within the hospitals, as I have some relations within the hospitals, the hospitals are no longer pushing the vaccines or pushing mandatory boosters, et cetera. They've stopped doing that entirely. What they have done is put out messages asking people, are you 3 or 4 times boosted? And now it's like, okay, some people were dumb enough to go jump into 4 already. It's not required. And everybody was required to get the 3. So now there's a strong belief within some groups within the medical establishment that they know it's a problem. You know what I mean? It's hard to hide the problem. You have to have your head in the sand to not know that this vaccine is a problem. You have to. So they know there's a problem. They're not that stupid. They're brainwashed, but not that brainwashed. And what we think they're doing is checking to see who has that 4th booster so they can start to plan for future problems. Problems. And that's where we stand. Now, in this country, there has not been the massive deaths that you've had in many other parts of the world. We have had, I know in my circle, 2 deaths. Okay, one was within 15 minutes. So, okay, you do the math. 15 minutes, jab, dead in 15 minutes. Hell, that's better than the most recent execution in America, which I heard took like half an hour or something like that. All right, this was faster than the execution we had this past week or so. And the other one had serious blood clots. They removed the blood clots, and then 2 weeks later, the clots came right back, and she died of a heart attack. So we're pretty much sure that's probably an mRNA-induced type of thing. But that's all we've known in deaths. We haven't heard anything, and I'm trying to get the data on burst? You know, how is the fertility rate here? You know, you got everybody vaccinated, a good percentage. A lot of women did not get vaccinated because they understood if they got vaccinated, they were no longer candidates for marriage, simply put. The mm-hmm. word went out. Any woman that's vaccinated, your prospects for getting married are going to go way down because a lot of the men will not accept a vaccinated woman here as a partner.
Wow.
And so I do know that a percentage of women did not. I know a lot did, especially ones that were in university age and they just had to take it to go to university. I'm like, don't be stupid. You know, just don't. So now we're just waiting. We're literally waiting for the carnage. You know, this experiment ends in 2023. It's not over yet. They've got their vaccines rolled out. Okay. They got a percentage vaccinated. We do know that there's a lot of winkety-wink stuff and there's things going on here. But we also don't have the deaths and the country is basically done with COVID. They don't want to hear about it, including the government.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Great points. I didn't know that about marriage. That's very interesting. And, you know, I know like five people who died within days or weeks of taking the shot through my circle of friends.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
It really is.
You know what I mean? That's amazing. That more than the leakage into the Tucker Carlsons and the Bannons is doing a better job raising awareness than the Tucker Carlsons and the Bannons and people like you and I, for sure. That's the best solution to waking people up is watching people die in front of you. Mm-hmm. What can you say? If you're a family, your mother takes the vaccine because she's proud and then 5 weeks later she's dead. That's the best way to wake. It's so sad, but that is one way that, let's be honest, they're not going to wake up till they do this. You know what I mean? They're so brain dead, they believe. So, okay, the best way to wake them up is to have the harm and then it's too late. But yeah, you'll save somebody else. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your sacrifice. You know what I mean? You know, they're okay. They're soldiers. They went out and they fought the good war for us. You got vaccinated. You got shot. You died. Okay. Well, thank you for your service. You know, instead of thanking the military, we should thank the vaccinated. Thank you for your service, everybody. You know, thank you.
Yeah. And I think that's the part of the reason for this big push for the socially distance. You know, be afraid to get too close. Don't talk. Because they know that information is leaking out. And they're desperate to keep all of it covered up. And I think it's going to become increasingly difficult to do so.
Well,
Giuseppe, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, Dennis. Go ahead. And then Giuseppe. Go ahead, Dennis.
Okay, I was just going to say we covered that in the show today. You know, with the CDC coming out last week and saying, hey, look, everything now is personal decision. There's no difference between vaccinated and unvaccinated. If you've been exposed, you don't need to quarantine anymore, yada, yada, yada. This is a huge break in the wall. It has to be followed up on. You know what I mean? But it's a huge break. So that's all I wanted to say.
That's very, very relevant and salient, Dennis. You know, I just loaded in clean feed. I changed the virtual cable and I loaded a clip. So I'm going to just start this. It's a cool song. Play a couple seconds, see if you guys hear it. Here we go. Do you guys hear that?
You're coming in okay, yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay, great. Awesome. Okay. Well, maybe that solved it. I guess we'll see if you can hear the top of the hour break then. Okay. Good deal. Maybe that solved it. So, Dennis.
Okay, go ahead, Giuseppe.
Okay. Let me gather my thoughts here. Look at my
notes. You've been busy decoding. I can see that, Giuseppe. You've been like playing tech guy all day. Your eyes are like so focused on the screen. It's like this guy's off in another world.
Yep, it's true. So Dennis, we've been saying on some of our shows, and it looks like with this whole Trump raid and other elements that have occurred, you know, the show trial, the kangaroo court of Alex Jones and half a dozen other things, it seems as though the deep state is building to some type of non-trivial false flag. Do you see that, or what are your thoughts on they need to do something? The COVID narrative's falling apart. The Ukraine narrative is really falling apart. I don't think people are falling for monkeypox and this other goofiness. So do you see that as coming? Do you think something's coming?
Yeah, I think they have to do something. I honestly do. I think they have to do something. They just They have no other existence other than ruling and controlling. There is nothing left for them. That is their existence. If they cannot rule over people and essentially dictate over people, they have no meaning in life. And without them being able to stay in that position, there is no existence for them. And they have pissed us off to the point to where maybe we don't want them to have an existence either, and they're afraid of that, and should be, frankly, with the harm they've caused to the American people. So, yeah, I believe they have to do something, Giuseppe. I think they have to.
Absolutely. Oh, and one last thing before I turn it back to the host, David Scorpio, is, you know, you as the warm-up act is not the correct analogy. The correct analogy is Live Aid, where you're Queen who stole the show at Live Aid, and we have to come on after you.
Oh, well, thank you for that. You know, I'm thinking, you know, I'm like Prince getting ready for the Rolling Stones, you know, back in the Coliseum in 1984.
No.
You know, still, it's a good act. You know what I mean? But I ain't the main act. It's the Rolling Stones is coming up next. I think Prince was at before. That was a great show. You know what I mean? Prince followed by the Rolling Stones at the Coliseum.
That's unbelievable. You know, talking music for a second, because I know all three of us really love music. Did you ever see at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame when they did, I think they were honoring George Harrison posthumously, and they played at the end when they all come on to jam, they played While My Guitar Gently Weeps and had his son come on and play acoustic guitar. And Prince, at the end of that live version, did one of the most remarkable solos. He was blowing everybody away. If you haven't seen that, it's on YouTube. It's so good. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll actually have to go see that. That might be a pretty kind of cool moment.
Oh, yeah. It gives you chills, literally. Yeah.
Well,
okay, back to the hate. Back to the hate.
Go ahead.
No, yeah. I was just making a joke.
You guys have breaks on this show, or you guys just kind of like run through the hour, you know, like a steamroll?
Well, we just
not till the top of the hour.
We were talking to Paul English, and you had mentioned to him that you like the bottom of the hour break because it makes it really go fast. And on RBN, when we simulcast Sunday night, we have a bottom of the hour break because we're using their scenario. And I see your point. It really makes the hour seem to go a lot faster when you have that bottom of the hour. So we might need to.
Yeah, and you don't have to keep going for an hour. You know, radio is a funny business, you know. To the listeners out there, we love you. Don't worry, we love you.
We love you.
You know what I mean? But the fact of the matter is radio is an attention span business, usually 15 to 20 minutes. And it's really hard to carry the audience for a whole hour without them kind of like either nodding off because you have your ups and downs, as we all do, or they got to go to the bathroom, or they want to go grab a bite to eat. So what I've felt is that the half hour segment is just a great way for me to put a lot of energy into the segment. 25 minutes, put a lot of energy, 26 minutes really. Put that energy in, have your storyline, burn it out the best you can. And then if you're good like we are, you know, that segment, if you're not prepared, you use that 4 or 5 minutes to go grab the next segment. But if I have to do an hour, oh my gosh, if I run out of material, now I'm going to be really what I call slugging it out for the next 20 minutes. Oh, thank you. But Paul, give me the break. You know what I mean? Give me that break at the bottom of the hour.
Compelling reason for sure.
Yeah, it's a veteran reason. Okay, guys, that's a veteran reason.
Yeah, you've been in this fight a long time, Dennis, and that is truly commendable. But, you know, I wanted to touch upon, you said they have to do something. And I agree. There has to be something big that comes up. And part of the problem with pulling off something as big as COVID, the next thing has to be equal or greater, or else you lose the psychological effect that they're seeking. But, you know, one thing I was talking about in the sort of the opening of the show was this idea of, like, you know, we're entering into a war that supersedes political belief left and right and who's going to be the president. We're entering into a war where it's really all about the control of natural resources and the control of the production of energy. That's what the New Green Deal is all about. And we're seeing that start to manifest with this Inflation Reduction Act, which I like to call the Clown World Manifestation Act. Mm-hmm. We're seeing them sort of bring in elements of the New Green Deal, which really the war is going to be control of all natural resources, control of the production of energy, and of course, culling the herd. That's the two prongs or the three prongs of what we're really dealing with. And we're all supposed to be reacting emotionally to abortion and Trump and whatever else they throw at us. So what are your thoughts on this new war of controlling natural resources, and where do you see that going?
It is 100%. I mean, when you break down all of this Rothschild stuff from the 1600s with the Dutch East Indies Tea Company, it's always been about the control of resources. The entire English people were mobilized for hundreds of years through the British Empire to go out and seek control and dominate resources, you know, from India into parts of China, all throughout the world. I mean, the sun never set on the English Empire, as I used to say. So it's always been about that, because the banking system as it stands, that's what it's based on, is the trade in commodities. You know, you've got oil would be, of course, the petrodollar is the main one, but that's going to be going away. So Putin has got a huge hand in this. He's linked everything back to gold, but it's always been about resources. And of course, by controlling America, they control $45 trillion worth of resources. If they could get Russia, it would be another $75 trillion. And then the next country, I think, is maybe, I think it's Saudi Arabia or Canada. I'm not sure what number three is. And I think number four is China. China is not even in the top three. I think it's fourth. So these guys, I agree, it is about resources, but control of energy, et cetera. But at the end of the day, their plans are based, they're so irrational. You know what I mean? It doesn't work. Everything they're putting forward doesn't work. And they have to be stopped. And that's why we keep saying now, and I'm glad to hear Bannon talking about it equal, is the administrative state has to be destroyed. Bottom line, it has to be destroyed. Who are these guys in the Netherlands coming up with these cockamamie ideas to put the farmers out of business? How is that good for the Netherlands, and how is it good for the rest of us? You know what I mean? It's not good for any of us. They're the biggest farming country in the world by per capita, and you're just going to take them offline for your own little pie-in-the-sky energy dreams of green energy, yada, yada, yada. No, you're all in to destroy the farmland and take the land. You just want to steal it. It's kind of like the Wild West. You know, you're going to move. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, you're not. And they come in and they burn down your farm. See, you're going to move now, right? Because the railroad's coming through. And that's how these guys are. They're just a bunch of gangsters. And they must be destroyed. Bottom line, they're gangsters. They're mafias.
Yeah, that's right. We are dealing with a gang, a criminal gang. And I think, you know, regarding the farms, they want to create this, oh my God, there's a food crisis happening. We didn't see this coming. It's inexplicable. No one's at fault here. Don't blame anybody. It's just what's happening. We're going to have to ration food. Listen, that's the path they want to take us in.
Scorpio, they bragged about how their policies were at work in Sri Lanka, how Sri Lanka is turning into this green paradise, and the World Economic Forum is paving the way for this awesome transition into green farming. And within 2 years, the food, you know, the crops, basically the yields crashed by 50%. It failed. And now the World Economic Forum takes everything off their website. They're hiding from the fact that their policies created Sri Lanka. It's like, you know what? You guys are the biggest freaking cowards on the planet. That was your plan. Okay, why don't you own up to it, guys? You freaking cowards. And now they want to do the same thing to a first world country like the Netherlands? My goodness. You know what I mean? My goodness, what's going on here? That's why they have to be destroyed. Again, we are not. Point. Yeah, we're not a slave to these frickers. You know what I mean? They need to be gone. And again, if you want to see an insurrection, you'll see an insurrection. Right now, you're seeing a very low level insurrection in the Netherlands. Just a lot of sabotage to kind of like make things a problem for the government, you know, throwing manure on the Minister of Health or the Minister of Agriculture and stuff like that. But that's not going to change anything. What has to change is the administrative state has to be rooted out and put people of principle and ethics into those positions that actually look out for the people. That includes all stakeholders. That's the people, the farmers. The people that trade with these people, not just what some stupid Jewish guy by the name of Klaus Schwab says, oy vey, I need this land because this land is for a bunch of apartments because we need to bring in all of these immigrants. You know what I mean? It's like, where'd you come from, dude? And again, if you want to see an insurrection, okay, wait. Because that's what it's coming to. It's going to come to that. I mean, again, 30% of Americans plus 33-35% actually expect the Civil War. All right? That's not a small number anymore. And why? Because this government is a government of gangsters who refuses to transition peacefully. That's all it boils down to. Listen, you made a mistake. You took over our country. It's high treason how you did it. We want a peaceful transition of power, and we will see what happens in 2022. But if it goes on to 2024 and there's no peaceful transition of power, do you really think that the conversations we're having today are going to get milder? No way. It's going to get even more militant. That's why they want to get the guns. We need the guns. Yeah, of course you need the guns, because you know you don't plan to give up power. It's that simple.
Yeah, so many great points, Dennis. Go ahead, Giuseppe.
So, Dennis, what's on the agenda as far as do you think some people who seem a little extreme to me are saying there'll be no elections in November? It's going to be martial law. How do you forecast and best guess the rest of the 2022?
Yeah, I'm aware of this, and a lot of people, even in my inner circle, tell me this. You know, they can't lose. I'm telling you, man. They are so, you know, you talk about, it's not just fragility here. They have no purpose in life other than to rule over people. You take away a Jew's right to rule over everybody and he has no value. They don't have value. So they will do anything they can to rule over everybody. And that includes destroying the country. They'll burn it down. You know what I mean? They will burn the country down. Right now, it's like they want to goad us into a nuclear war, perhaps, with Russia, for instance. It's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. So it's possible. I think it's possible that they will try to forego the 2022 elections. I think that will be a huge tactical mistake on their part, because that will send the message to the more militant of Americans. And we got 20 million vets in this country that are very well trained, that this government is not going away. And they refuse to give up power. And that doesn't mean that people are going to be irrationally shooting. I think this will be a very, if it gets to this stage, I think the American people are going to be very intelligent about this and conduct it in a way that restores the republic. And that's the ultimate goal, is to restore the republic. And we want to do it peacefully. The 2022 elections are coming up. Let it happen. We've seen a great stuff, as you guys know, in the primaries. We've seen a lot of these rhinos kicked out. You know, Liz Cheney is now gone. 8 of the 10 people that tried to impeach Trump are gone. And again, I like Trump. He did a lot of great stuff for the country. I think he is too far into the Jewish camp. But you know what I mean? You take the good with the bad. I mean, you can only have one man as president, and he's not going to be everything you want. I mean, unless you're Jewish, then you get everything you want, right? But for us, we take what we can, and he did a great job for us. And he's the president. Let's be honest. He won that election. He is the president. Take everything away. He won that election. Guys, he should be in the White House right now. So, okay. Right now, we are staring at a country that is occupied by a criminal organization. Period. There should be an insurrection. They're lucky there's not. You know what I mean?
Yes.
They took over the country. And they're like whining about, oh, the people haven't, you haven't seen it yet, guys. Shut the hell up already. You haven't seen it. You keep talking to us. You know what pisses me off about these guys? I'll be watching YouTube, and YouTube will feed this crap about the January 6th hearings, right? I don't want to see it. And it's just every speaker talking about, on January 6th, Trump did this, and on January 6th, Trump did this, and there was an insurrection, and it's all this bullshit narrative that just slaps us in the face. It's like, you sons of bitches overtook this country in a color revolution. We know it. You know it. The rest of the world knows it, and you still try to gaslight us.
So true.
Yeah. You know, That's a great point. And, you know, it's funny how all the media outlets, it's almost like this has been patented. You know, Trump's big lie or the big lie. They all say it, like, the big lie, the big lie, the big lie. Like it's this heresy to even consider that some monkey business went on with the election when there's so much evidence pointing to it. Most notably, on the surface, Joe Biden couldn't get enough people at his rallies to fill the internet chat room. And, 100%. Trump had 50,000 people in a stadium and 10,000 people waiting outside. So there's something wrong there.
Three times a day. Three times a day he would do that.
Yeah. And I see very little support for Groper Joe, even here in California. Very few. I've only met a handful of people. And I'll just go up and talk to strangers. I don't care. I'll just do it. Yeah. Very few people go, Groper Joe's doing a wonderful job. Whoa, very rare. Most people see the government is out of control. They don't trust it anymore. They don't trust what the CDC says. They're not taking another vaccine. So I think the ground is very ripe for people to want new information, like the kind of information you bring forward, and Giuseppe and myself and other shows on Speak Free Radio and other networks. We're at a very prime, good time because it just seems to me, from my estimation of talking to people, people are hungry for new information. They know they're being lied to. They know something's seriously wrong. And I've never seen a moment like this in my lifetime, to be honest, because when I started conspiracy research, it was out there, man. I was crazy. No one else cared about it. But now it's the chickens are coming home to roost.
Yeah, you and I have been associated for longer than most people know. You know what I mean? Through Grisms and such. And by the way, Grisms, I think, is posting all the shows. You know, we've been around a long time, and we remember those days so vividly, man. We were out there pumping the information. Even there was distrust amongst us sometimes because we're thinking everybody's on this side, that side. You know, all this division going on for whatever reason. And it's all okay. It's all good. You know, we lived it. We went through it. And, you know, it's like, shit. You know, today, like you said, it's like the audience is freaking massive. I look at some of these BitChute channels that are talking about Q, right? And, you know, Trump is the second coming of Christ, 455,000 views. I'm like, how in the hell did he get 455? But you look at the video, it's a compelling video. Good for them. You know what I mean? So much really good, compelling videos out there. Very few still are doing what we're doing, which is to talk more about the real core of the problem, which then takes you back into global Jewish power. Very few still talk about that. And that's okay. This is going to be our niche, and nobody does it better right now. And thank goodness when somebody can come along and do it better. You know what I mean? It'll be a great thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, thank goodness. I'd be happy for that and let it run. But we're going to stay in the fight for sure, you guys. And I know you guys are in for the fight equally. So, and here we are. And like you said, it's a great time to be broadcasting because people want the information.
Yeah, that's so true. Go ahead, Giuseppe.
Well, Dennis, what is the best case scenario coming up for this country as far as somehow not – I don't think we can realistically destroy the administrative state quickly, but how do we neuter them and take back power, the average people? What are some recommendations you have?
On the national level, obviously, if you can take control of the House and you got enough patriots in there, immediately start investigations into the CDC for criminal fraud. Immediately call in Pfizer, call in Moderna, put them under oath, and basically try to lock them down into criminal fraud. And everything about the COVID, because everybody, this is an issue for everybody because so many people have died, is to focus on destroying the instruments of state, you know, the administrative state on the COVID vaccine. This was all 100% a fraud. So go after that first. If you can get into power, go after these guys. That's going to be a huge, huge thing if you can get like Borla on it. You know, why hasn't Borla been called before Congress already? Now, we know this is a criminal government we have now, but again, get Borla on record, under oath, under oath. We should look into changes to social media. You know what? If you're going to be working in the United States, if you have access to our scarce resources, that's a technical telecommunications term that means resources that belong to we the people. So if you're going to go out over the airwaves, all right, those are licensed spectrum, And if you're using anything that is licensed by We the People, if you violate our constitutional rights, you will immediately lose your license. That's for every single AM, FM station, television station. We don't care if it's national or not. Enough is enough. You want access to our scarce resources. You honor our rights. That's it. If you don't honor our rights, we take your rights away. You cease to exist. And make that a movement. You know, that's not realistic, Giuseppe, but, you know, in the media business, enough is enough. Who are these people that shut you guys down last week? What punks did that?
Right.
Again, who were these people? You know what I mean? Who are you? Because your network is right now going out, believe me, over scarce resources. It's a telecommunication service. That means half of the stuff going out there is licensed somewhere by some state or federal regulatory agency. So how is it you benefit from our using our resources, but then you don't let us talk? You're making money off of our resources. If you want to blind us and take us offline, you put your own network out there. You put your own internet out there. You draw your own cables, but you're going to have to go through us to get it because it's a scarce resource. See what I mean? In other words, you reach the customer using our assets as people. You're using our scarce resources. Enough of this idea that Twitter, you're a private company. No, you're not. You're a public company. You're using our scarce resources. Listen, if you don't want to honor our rights, then stop using the internet. There you go. The internet was developed by We the People, not for you. Stop using it, dude. Okay, now let's see how big you are. Let's see how you can silence people. We don't need you. This is my thoughts. It's enough is enough on the communications front. We're in an information war. Everybody, not everybody, but a lot of us get it. So we need to take that information war to these guys. And put restrictions on them that says, you know what? If you're going to be involved in banking like PayPal, you cannot discriminate, period. If you want to take somebody down, you get a court order that they're doing something illegal. Otherwise, you're neutral, man. You're nothing but a utility. And that's where we should put all of these people. Twitter should be a utility. YouTube, any major company out there should be treated as a utility at this stage. People like us who are less than whatever percentage, we have the reign of we can use what's available. We're like public TV, you know, public cable TV, public access TV. We're like that. You know, we get the little side piece of the pie here. But otherwise, you're a utility. These are issues I'd like to see us address. The vaccines, the pharmaceuticals destroy all immunity for the vaccine companies. Enough is enough is enough. They've been giving our kids so much death over the years. How many families have been destroyed because of autism, you know, caused by the vaccines? What, we're supposed to shoulder the burden because you freaking Jews want to go earn a few shekels on your vaccines? Screw you. Seriously, screw you. You destroy so many families just to make a dollar. What absolute disgusting people to do that, that you'll go kill somebody to make a dollar. Yeah. What are you, a paid mercenary that's just going out there assassinating people for fun? What makes you any different than MI-13? There's no difference. Yeah. You're just a high-tech MI-13 guy. And you're more sinister because you're using AI-created vaccines that create the most horrendous side effects in people. Sometimes immediate, sometimes intermediate, sometimes a little bit long-term. But you're using AI to create this genetically modified poison you're putting into people. You're worse than MI-13. At least MI-13, you understand your enemy.
Right. Brilliant point. Brilliant.
Yeah. Do you have a follow-up, Giuseppe?
No, I'm good. I just want to compliment him. That is so true, everything good. You said. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, really
Fetch
good
Fetch is on a roll here. My show sucks
Fetch
today,
is hot.
Guys, so the roll's good, man.
He's hot, baby. Well, we got good chemistry, and it's always a pleasure having you come on. I mean, the hour is almost up already. You're making some great points, and I think that this idea of vaccine immunity is completely insane. What other product has complete immunity from harming people?
Yeah, and none. It's like, why are you giving it to these punks? Listen, if it's so good and they're so brilliant, they don't need any immunity. All you're doing is sheltering them. You know what? They gave them immunity because they knew they were going to kill people. That's what pisses me off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You just knew, listening to the Gates when he's talking about, well, you know, there could be some damages and it could be in the tens of thousands. And of course, so we're going to need some immunity. He's on there saying we're gonna harm or kill tens of thousands of people. So you're going to have to give us immunity. And everybody said, okay, go ahead and kill tens of thousands of people. What? You gave everybody a death sentence to fight an imaginary virus that was basically the flu? So you gave people a death sentence, literally? How cowardly were all of these health officials to just sit there and literally give random people death sentences? No trial, no nothing. Here's your death sentence. Here's your Russian roulette. Pull the trigger, man. Jabbity, jabbity, jab. We know some of you are going to, and they know people are dying, and they didn't say a word. In fact, they quieted it up and told us, you're all conspiracy theorists. We need to fight disinformation. What sons of bitches, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, the ad hominems always kick in when they don't have any information to back up their claims. And it's becoming so overwhelming, the amount of people that are being maimed. And even from regular vaccines, you know, you got the autism, food allergies, which can be extreme, all kinds of other side effects. And I think the blooming of cancer has something to do with this as well. It's hard to overestimate. And they've made it very clear that they want to use vaccines to control the human population. It's stated quite openly. It's not a conspiracy theory. Just read their own documents.
Correct. And the only way to really make something work effectively, because air is a terrible conductor of viruses. It's just terrible. You know, it breaks apart immediately, essentially, based on humidity and everything else. So the best way to get it into people's bodies is to simply inject it into their bodies.
Right.
That's the easiest, fastest, and most productive way to do it.
Exactly. Okay, there we are, guys. Top of the hour. Dennis, thanks for coming on. Fantastic
too
interview.
Too fast, guys. Too fast.
Yeah. You're the best.
We'll do it again.
See you guys, man. Good luck for the rest of the show. See you tonight. Good night.
Thank you. And everyone stay tuned for Andrew Carrington Hitchcock coming up next. Welcome back to hour number three of Operation Scorpio. And in this hour, it is our great pleasure to welcome the legendary Mr. Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, author of Synagogue of Satan, and a radio host for many years as well, and just an all-around really good guy and a very informed guy. So without further ado, Andy, how are you, sir? And thank you for coming on the show.
Well, thank you, Dave, for inviting me on. And Giuseppe, I always enjoy listening to your shows anyway, but I never listen to myself. So I'll be listening to a shorter Operation Scorpio this week when I download it on the Sunday. But delighted to be working with you. We've been doing our monthly show together that I put out. And I just follow all your shows. Last week's Operation Scorpio was fantastic with Io. And then the Sane Asylum on RBN is always enjoyable just before Robert Ravolt. And then I've already heard, I'm into the second hour of the Perfect Triangle from yesterday with our mutual friend Eric Gajewski. I've heard that hour now. I'm into the calls. And now this is the Operation Scorpio show. So it's great to be with you.
Oh, great, Andy. Well, why don't we start off with, why don't we start off with getting your kind of report from the ground in England? What's the climate? The political climate, what are things like there? What's your perception of what's happening, and what's it feel like to be there right now?
Well, we've got another leadership election. It's either Rishi Sunak or Liz Truss that is going to be the new leader of the Conservative Party and therefore our Prime Minister. And it looks like Liz Truss is rushing away with it, or running away with it, I think is a better term. But Rishi Sunak was being interviewed, I believe, on Friday. I caught a bit on just a headline. I didn't look into it, but he says that he can still win, even though she's a few points ahead. We'll just have to see. But whilst they've both agreed to move the British embassy to Jerusalem, I know that she's visited a synagogue, but I don't know if he has. So that might, you know, that might affect his chances when compared to hers. But I guess we'll just have to wait and see. They both sound like they're conservative friends of Israel. And that unfortunately seems to be what you have to be in order to get ahead in politics in the UK. And, I think in many cases in the US as well these days.
Oh, yeah. For it's amazing, guys. One of the foundations of being a conservative in the United States is supporting Israel no matter what. It's very odd. And, of course, it's extra points if you go put the little hat on and go to the Wailing Wall and take the grand tour of Israel, among other things, to show your fealty and loyalty to all things conservative. Giuseppe, why don't you jump in with a question or a comment for Andy?
Absolutely. It's an honor to have Andy here. I've been a longtime fan of his daily shows. I mean, now he's doing 7 days a week, which is really impressive. And I have two different editions of The Synagogue of Satan, plus your other book, which people may not know, is also excellent in the name. I believe it's In the Name of Yahweh, or is that correct, Andy? And just yeah. Excellent author. And yeah. First thing I'm curious is, tell us a little bit about how you came to I know when you were a younger guy, you were a typical British male. And how did you come to your spiritual awakening? Because I know on Sundays you're an ordained pastor, so you're Pastor Andy, and you give a traditional Christian message. So how did you come about to finding your spiritual awakening?
Well, it was interesting because I think my life was really sort of uneventful. I think that there was a guy that I knew when I was a police training school, and we agreed on one thing. We wanted to pass through completely unnoticed. We didn't want to be at the top, we didn't want to be at the bottom, we just wanted to go through so we wouldn't be elevated somewhere, or we wouldn't have a problem struggling either. And that's kind of was the story of my life, really. I just had random, you know, office jobs and things like that. Always interested in music, like I know both of you guys are, but I just didn't have the talent or to play. And I would, I had a keyboard and all sorts of things, but you had to practice and practice. And whenever I would try and do something, and I had a 4-track cassette recorder and stuff, I'd just be recording again and again and again and again, because I just kept making mistakes. So music was what I really loved. What I spent doing most of my time was listening to my music, or not my music, because I couldn't really write any, but listening to music. And then I couldn't do that myself. And then at some point, I'd always been interested in reading from a young age, and I read all sorts of things, but I was very skeptical about everything from day one. You know, I was always an avid reader of, you know, do ghosts exist, do UFOs exist, all these sorts of things. And then hearing about these Illuminati and a mainstream writer, John Ronson, who you will know best for the film he wrote, The Men Who Stare at Goats, with Ewan McGregor and that Jeff Bridges, you know, the great actor out of The Big Lebowski that I know you enjoy. Essentially, he did a series called The Secret Rulers of the World, which I believe was in something like 2000. So I was watching that. It was on Channel 4, and we only have the 4 channels. I mean, you could get satellite, but I never had it. And it was really fascinating. They were interviewing people like Tex Mars. They went over to the American Free Press office, spent some time there. It was all done in a sort of Louis Theroux style of sort of ridiculing these people. But that essentially is what woke me up and got me looking into things. It spurred me on to buy my first book on the subject, which was a secondhand copy of David Icke's The Biggest Secret. I got that in a book exchange in Notting Hill Gate in London. And then I think the first new book I bought was Behold a Pale Horse by William Cooper, and started listening to things like, you know, you could find the odd show here and there. I forget where I was even finding them, because these are pre-YouTube days and everything, but people like Alex Jones, I think, were behind a paywall. You had to, you know, pay to get the archives for GCN and stuff like that. I think RBNs were free back then. Just picking up knowledge where I could. The person I ended up liking the most at that point was a guy called Daryl Bradford Smith, who had a radio show called The French Connection that started on RBN, was on there 2-3 months, then got canned by John Statmiller, moved to GCN, lasted there for only a few months, got canned by them, and then went independent, and on his website, iamthewitness.com, which is no longer running. And I started listening to that, and that was my favourite show. And he had all sorts of guests, and he was talking about the Chabad Lubavitch and really getting into sides of things which I think had contributed to his downfall from both RBN and GCN. Of course, people were talking about different things at that time, and he was somewhat of a trailblazer. That spurred me into making notes. So the reason I bring up listening to music earlier is my evenings I would like to spend, even if I'd sort of go out to the pub with my girlfriend or something, then after I'd get back, you know, I'd just go outside, maybe have a couple more beers and that, listen to music and stuff. But at some point in the early 2000s, I stopped listening to all my CDs, and I was just listening to an MP3 CD that I downloaded all these different shows of and listening to those. And that's why I find it very interesting that there are so many creative people involved in the truth movement. And I think a lot of them may have found something similar. I'll hand that back to you in a moment, where you were listening to music all these decades, and suddenly this independent media comes along in the late 90s, early 2000s, and you start listening to that more than all the songs that we used to listen to. And that's what happened to me. And as a result, I'd hear different people talking about different things, and I'd want to look into it for myself. So I'd make little notes on a post-it note, and I'd just stack them up. And then when I had time to myself during the day, I wasn't working, I'd go on my computer and start looking it all up and finding sources and all that, and then recording it into a timeline, which ended up on Dale Bradford from the iamthewitness.com website and subsequently became the book, The Synagogue of Satan. And, of course, that title comes from the Bible, Revelation 2:9 and 3:9. It says, "Beware of those who say they are Jews but are not, but are the synagogue of Satan." And I firmly believe that the powers that should not be, as I call them today, are that group. And it says, "Beware of those who say they are Jews but are not." No, there are definitely a significant Jewish element within that group, but there's a lot of other people as well. It's sort of like a mixed bag, but there's a Zionist element, and there's a, you know, Chabad element, and there's all these other elements as well that we see coming out now, of different races and cultures and creeds all seem to be enmeshed into some sort of anti-God type of worship, satanic worship, I would say. But you see all the things that they push in different countries, and it's even talking about the bugs now, eating bugs. That, again, is in the Bible. You've got the food laws, and you do not eat these sorts of insects, you know what I'm saying? And so any way that they can do it and get you to do something contrary to what is instructed in the Bible, they will do it, whether it's a particular choice of lifestyle that you have, all sorts of things. And that's what attracted me to it, to Christianity. But what really woke me up around that time was I started listening to a show called Yahweh's Truth with who was then Pastor James P. Wickstrom, and he would have Pastor Bob Jones on with him, Colonel Francis P. Farrell. They were the two regulars. And some of their stuff, it was just, you'd listen to it and it just seemed so extreme and bizarre. But I listened to it, I found it entertaining, you know, and it sort of blew off steam, if you like, while I was writing, you know, what I considered this stuff that I could document historically and what have you. And they seemed to be going on about all these different things relating to this group that they solely seem to identify as Jews, which I didn't. I identified as a synagogue of Satan. And, I was hearing what I regarded a lot of their, you know, the whole idea that the white race were the Israelites of the Bible and all this. It just thought, this is ridiculous. And now I started looking into it, and I started seeing that what they were saying, if you actually got the Bible dictionaries and you got, you looked up different terms and, you know, simple little things like when Abraham is told he's going to be the father of many nations, well, the white race are the obvious candidate for that, not Jews, because the Jews have only ever had one nation, and that's the state of Israel. Whereas the white race, it can be argued, went straight across the world. And, you know, they're always blamed for this colonialism, for taking over nations. Well, they would have to fit that biblical narrative. And someone might say, well, I don't believe in the Bible. Well, that's fine. But if you do believe in it, as Tom Metzger said to me years ago, he became a pastor himself. And then he became an atheist some years later. But he said if he was still a believer in the Bible, then to him, the only logical explanation of the Bible is the Christian identity explanation. So that was how I got into that side of things. And I was approached, I've got it here, got a little certificate on the, I'll read this to you, you'll enjoy this. Assembly of Christian Israelites Certificate of Ordination, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock is hereby ordained as priest of the Order of Melchizedek this 18th day of May 2018, and that was from Pastor Eli James. So that's going, you know, over 4 years ago now, and it was weird how it ended up being on that day. Because it was offered to me and I accepted, and then I didn't even expect a certificate or anything, and it arrived, and that would have been my stepdad's 83rd birthday, but he died in the January of that year. So that was interesting that it turned up on that day. But I always stress that if people want to hear a Christian identity message, they need to go somewhere like eurofolkradio.com, who do carry this show, because I describe myself as a pastor that's interested in limited areas. And by that, I mean what's covered in the book In the Name of Yahweh. I'm interested in who the children of God, who the Israelites of the Bible actually are. I'm interested in what the laws are. I'm interested in the life of Jesus Christ. I'm interested in what Jesus Christ said. And I've always been interested, going all the way back to childhood, you know, when I didn't think about the Bible, I was thinking about something like Nostradamus, you know, what's going to happen in the future. And of course, you've got all the prophetic books in the Bible, which isn't just the book of Revelation. There are many other prophetic books, you know, Isaiah, Ezekiel, etc. in the Bible. And that's what I'm, as I say, that's what I cover. So I focus on those areas. But for someone, if you want someone who focuses on the whole Bible, then you need to find someone like a Pastor Eli James, who I learned from. And of course, unfortunately, Pastor Wickstrom, who was another good teacher, he passed away some years ago in what I consider a suspicious manner. He's supposed to have collapsed at home in his bathroom with a stroke and never recovered. One can only wonder the sort of things he'd be saying about what's been happening since the start of these lockdowns and this COVID. I think that he'd have been making for some very uncomfortable broadcasts. So I'm sorry, I've been like a train going there, not allowing either of you to get a word in edgeways. So I'll halt now, and anything you would like to ask me, please go ahead.
Well, that was a fascinating answer, Andy. And, you know, it's interesting, some parallels with myself. The Spotlight newspaper certainly was a trailblazer publication. And, you know, Louis Theroux did have a way of sort of being very snarky and condescending. But then he would bring these people on, and it would kind of fascinate you with, wow, that's interesting. Wonder about that. And so he may have, by accident, led many people into looking into things that they were just supposed to ridicule. And for, you know, Daryl Bradford Smith actually began his radio career as a caller into Peter Schenck's show. I don't know if you ever listened to Peter Schenck. He was on RBN, but ended up going over to Voice of Reason, and was quite a great host in his own right. And Daryl Bradford Smith was really a true trailblazer, but I think he's pretty much shut everything down because of the laws in France where he lives concerning the Holocaust and other issues. So a fascinating answer. And Andy, you know, it seems as though we are just being bombarded with this sort of never-ending stream of fear porn, and the volume has been turned up to 11, so to speak. I mean, we've got, nuclear war is imminent, it appears, and now they're talking, you know, mass starvation is on the horizon, climate change, and COVID and polio and monkeypox. What else can we think of? What else can we do to scare the great unwashed masses? It just seems like there's this concerted effort to keep the general population in an abject state of fear. And I was just curious what your take is on that. You know, obviously, fear is a great way to control a population, but why do you think they've chosen to throw everything imaginable at the public right now? It's like they're just throwing everything they can up against the wall and see what sticks. What? Why do you think that is happening, and where do you think that is leading to in the next few years in terms of the geopolitical situation and life on Earth?
I think this thought just came into my mind, so I'm going to go with it. I think that shows like this have got right under their skin and scared them. And I think it scared them into rushing into doing something that they were in no way ready to do. Maybe more people are awake than I give credit for. But this group has historically, and of course you hear about expulsions of Jews, you know, 109 times in history and stuff like that. And again, I question that side of things in the sense that, you know, there was always other groups working with them. I mean, if you, for example, you could look at the opium wars in China. Well, the people that were doing the opium was not just the Sassoon family, but it was a British royal family working in tandem, working together. So they've always worked together. And they've seemed to have consistently pushed people too far that has resulted in expulsions. And you never read the reasons why. I think that Giuseppe always tells us of that Russian proverb that he comes up with, the six-word one. But one that I heard, and I might be paraphrasing, but it's something like, the Jew will tell you what happened to him, but he will never tell you why. And I've yet to see a document. And some people say the 109 times is wrong. It's 109 territories, something like 350-something times. But even if you go with 109, that's a hell of a lot of times to be kicked out of somewhere. And the old analogy that, you know, if you lose a job and, you know, you're unlucky and then, you know, you lose your next one and it's still not your fault and you lose your 109th one, I mean, come on. So you have to look at it. And there's even historians, I should have grabbed my book, I'll get it in a moment, Bernard Lazar, he's right early on in my book, so I don't need the exact quote. I'm sure people can still find this out. As I say, it's one of the first ones in the book, The Synagogue of Satan. Whatever version you've got, it's going to be in there. And he was a Jewish academic and historian and writer, and he basically said that the fact that these expulsions occurred in different countries with different people who spoke different languages at different times of history, and the only common denominator was the Jews themselves, mean that there had to have been something in the Jews' actions that caused their expulsions. Because, of course, the people that expelled them were different people speaking different languages in different countries and at different times. So you can get some good sources there. And I think that in the past, again, something egregious must have gone on for them to be asked to leave a territory. And I think that what's happened this time with forcing people to be locked in their homes, with covering up the fact that this shot is doing all this damage and killing so many people, and using the media to cover that up. I thought of something else earlier. A couple of weeks ago, it might have been last Friday, I lose track of time. When we did our last show, I think it was last Friday, wasn't it? And we covered together something that you had both found and you alerted me to on the Sane Asylum. And that was this UNESCO document. It was only last week. So it's still on my website, folks, achshow.com. That's achshow.com. You want to scroll down for show 1876, exposing UNESCO's Think Before Sharing Worldwide Campaign of Censorship. So UNESCO is a big United Nations agency. And I was thinking about this earlier with what I could bring up on your show. And they've got this thing called hashtag Think Before Sharing, which is another way they want to control the internet. They want to censor the internet. They want to censor what people say. And when you go into this show, I've got the link for you there. So you can click on it, and they give you these infographics. Conspiracy theories, what are they? Why do they flourish? Conspiracy theories, what about my own beliefs? Conspiracy theories, the link to anti-Semitism. Now, when I look through all of these tabs, the only one that mentions a race is this one saying the link to anti-Semitism. But how about, I don't read about allegations I don't read in the mainstream media about the Jews being blamed for anything. So where's this link to anti-Semitism coming from? Because what I read in the mainstream media these days is about how we're supposed to hate Russians. I read about how we're supposed to hate the Chinese. I read all these different things. So they tell you that you're not supposed to hate, but then they direct you at people they want you to hate. So again, you have to be consistent in pointing out their inconsistencies. But why is it always that, you know, we have an international definition of anti-Semitism? Why is there not an international definition of anti-Italian sentiment or anti-German or, you know, Islamophobia? I don't think there's an international definition. And when we look back historically, this is something else I covered in the book. You look at the groups that promote censorship. The ADL very proudly announced that they are involved in monitoring what can and can't go out on the likes of YouTube and Twitter and other social media and search engine organizations. And they speak about it as if it's a badge of honor. Well, if you go back to 1988, they held a competition for law students to draft hate crimes legislation. I mean, who sets up a competition asking people to draft hate crimes legislation? What sort of organization would do that 34 years ago? Well, it's the same organization today that's trying to control what you say. And Jesus Christ clearly says in the Bible, the truth will set you free. And for me, any group out there that wants to limit what you can say can only be detrimental to society, because the more that's said, the better, and then people can make up their own mind. But we're getting to a situation where, you think about it now, we've all been quite careful with these jabs. I don't think any of the three of us have had them. But you imagine if you were in that situation where it was no jab, no job, and in the end you got one, and then you did even if it was a mild reaction, imagine how you'd be feeling about that. I was forced to have this or I would lose my job. And then you hear all these people talking about these groups saying about, oh, that it's the Nazis and all this sort of nonsense. Well, when you look at who consistently censored, they always blame National Socialism for burning books in the 1930s. Well, yeah, if you look at Weimar Germany and who was controlling that, it was a big explosion in transgenderism, pornography, and these were the books that they were burning. They ignore the books that have been burnt in recent years. They never talk about the book burnings at Amazon, for example, in which my book was basically burnt, and many others, over 100. On the allegations that a load of Jewish centers have been phoned up in America and threatened when they found out a few months later that the person doing it was in Israel. But they never reinstated any of the books, of course. So it makes you wonder if the whole thing was an op just to get people like these books taken down, because at that time it was a very popular book. So the way I see things now is I think that all these different things have gone on. I think they've overreacted. I think that this was something that the Synagogue of Satan group, this broad church, if you like, of different political, business, and religious interests getting together to control the world. Something on the Perfect Triangle last week that Scorpio said that really resonated true with me and therefore became the show title for The Lime Is on Monday. Communism is capitalism without competition. I mean, what an accurate statement. These are the sort of things we need to get out there. When anyone says, oh, it's the Nazis. No, it isn't the Nazis. It isn't the Nazis. The Nazis were giving power back to the German people. What the communists were doing was they were using their people as slave labor, and they were killing as many white Christians as they possibly could. And when you look at what's happening in places like America today, where the white people are being literally discriminated against left, right, and center, it's appalling. So there's obviously some sort of deep hatred amongst communists for white people. Now, I believe I know what that hatred is. I believe that the communists know that the white people are the true chosen people in the Bible, are the true children of God. And as a result, because communism is basically based on Satanism, that's who they worship, that's why I believe that we're being attacked. And everything leads to that. So there are people in our group who think that it's, you know, we should have immigration and what have you. And I mean, if there are people in other countries that are suffering with famines or what have you, and you've got the means to take them in and help them out, then maybe that's something that should be being considered. But when you look at the fact that it's been white countries that have been targeted for mass immigration, targeted for the promotion of lifestyles that impact on the birth rate, all these different things, targeted for these shots that have killed so many people, and then their own supposed media won't tell them about the damage it's been doing to people. So it sounds like that was all planned as well. You have to wonder, why is there this all-out attack on white people on so many different levels, and who is behind it? And that's the question that so few people will ever answer in the independent media. Sorry for going on so long. Back to you, Scorpio or Giuseppe.
Oh, great answer, Andy. Fascinating. Go ahead, Giuseppe.
Well, that was really great, really insightful, and really thought-provoking. And another thing that was thought-provoking to me is I listen to as many of your shows as I can, but I never miss the Limeys because you and Maleficus are dear brothers in the independent media, and it's just always such a great show. And I was disturbed to hear on this past Monday, August 15th episode, that you're dealing with some targeted individual issues. So you've definitely done enough to pop up on the radar of the Synagogue of Satan. So are you all right? And what's been going on with all that?
Well, thank you, Giuseppe. Yeah, it's been strange. You probably heard I mentioned earlier in the year, this was quite a while ago because it was when I was in my current apartment. Of course, I moved for about 10, 11 weeks while it was being renovated, and then I'm back in here now. And it was before I moved. So I woke up one morning, Saturday, I believe it was, and the sort of heated towel rail on my bathroom wall that I, funny enough, never used because you power it separately. But it had been unscrewed and pulled out from the wall at the bottom. And this is sort of like about 4 feet, 3-4 feet tall, sort of thin thing. And there was no way it would have come away. It defies gravity. I mean, if it was the top hanging out, then, you know, I might have believed it more. But the screws had been loosened. It had been pulled out. So someone had obviously been in there overnight, done it. And this is the sort of things that I've heard for years, you know. Well, I've never actually heard that particular example, but that was what happened to me. And, you know, what do you do? I mean, I remember Robert Revolt saying on one of his shows that I think it was one of his supplements he took, and it had some really funny smell to it. And it appeared someone had been in his apartment and put something in it, you know? Astonishing. And he just noticed it because I think he said that it was something like half full. And when he went a few days later, it was full or something. There's something like that, but some people may remember what he was talking about. So, and I've had people, Eric Carlstrom, on the show, who studies gang stalking and is a victim himself. And other people like Renata on, etc. And I've tried to give people a platform, but the danger is with anything like this is there may be some people, as there are in any field, that want to make things up, but I give people the benefit of the doubt and I give people the platform. And as I always say on my show, and I'm going to say it on this show, you know, you need to be the judge. Any information you hear today, you need to judge it for yourself. Think about it and take the bits that you like and dismiss the bits that you don't. But recently, and I thought of this as well, because something that I've been talking about is the free speech issue. Now, when I was a police officer from 2002 to 2006, there was no such term as hate speech that I was familiar with. There were laws called the Public Order Act that you could arrest people for, you know, for saying things that may be deemed racist, etc., displaying signs as well that are racist, things like that. But there was nothing called hate speech, and there's not been any legislation that I'm aware of coming up on that, although they're pushing that now with the online harms bill, which they thought that sounded a bit draconian, so they're calling it the online safety bill, where we heard all about fake peace and safety, etc., things like that. It dawned on me a day or two ago that what's been happening to me is shops that I go in like three different towns, people, you see, I tend to be quite polite. If I'm being served, I'll say, oh, how are you? And things like that. And so there are people you get used to and you chat to. And suddenly these people have been like ignoring me. And I'm like, oh, what's going on? And these are in different towns. I'm like, this is strange. And since I made this announcement on Monday's show, which, as you know, I script my, certainly the bits, the material I'm going to go in, unless Malifka's asked me a particular, you know, question on something that he's got that I'm not familiar with beforehand, because he prepares his stuff and I say, just fire it out. Anything you're worried about, you want to talk about, we can talk about before the show. Otherwise, just surprise me with what you've got. I didn't have this in the script, but for some reason I was moved to mention the gang stalking, this sort of things that's been happening. And I've had so many emails coming in, and I didn't realize how widespread this was. I had something on my Facebook for, and I don't, as you know, I'm on there, but I only ever post once a year, and that's to thank people for wishing me a happy birthday. Because I think I've got, it used to display at the top how many people that I've got. I'm always getting friend requests because I was something like 200 short of the maximum number of friends, which is 5,000. I had about 4,800 or something. I'm not sure what they are now because I don't know where to look. But I get requests from random people because obviously they want to, you know, get hold of your 4,800 whatever followers. But I was sent this because some people, you know, people like that I reject. I'll only allow someone on if they've got, you know, some sort of similar interest. I was invited to this event, or to post this event, London TI Day. I'm like, London TI Day on August the 29th. And I'm like, so it's so big that they've got a targeted individual day in London. And then I read about a world targeted individual day. And you can go onto YouTube and there is a world targeted individual day. This has been put up by Matthew Aaron on January the 17th, 2021. And it's the third one. It started off in, the third annual TI day was on August 29th, 2020. So this is such a worldwide problem that they've actually got a world targeted individual day or a world TI day that takes place on the August the 29th of every year. So that's coming up. Be interesting to see what sort of feedback we all get on that. And then what I did is I went on, with bearing that in mind, I've had all sorts of emails from people who listen people in the UK who've had to move from one county to another experiencing similar things to me. You know, these are senior people as well. It's amazing. And I wasn't aware how widespread that it was, as I say. And I mean, I'll give you an example here. I can only read elements of this. This is an email I had from someone in South Africa who said he's been gang stalked. With regards to the shop lady, it is no doubt someone spoke to her. It's so easy. A guy over the counter saying, "Oh, do you know who that is? That guy's called Andy Hitchcock. He's an anti-Semite." And this guy goes on to say that he lived in London for 3 years and all the gang stalking he received there. But what I think the timing of it is interesting, because going back to the hate speech aspect and stuff, sorry, I'm scattergun all over the place at the moment, try and narrow it down. What they've been doing using their media is they've been narrowing the Overton window whilst expanding what they can define as hate speech. And the way that that's worked in the UK is like a domino effect, potting off people that they didn't like. So they started off with Alison Chablot because they could say, "Oh, she's awful because she sung songs mocking the Holocaust." Well, no, she didn't. She sung a song. I'm not aware of all of them. So I am aware of one that she mocked Irene Zisblatt, who I believe in a memoir said that she was swallowing diamonds and excreting them every day in a concentration camp. And she thought that that story was somewhat fanciful. So she wrote a song about it. But you see, the way that they can deal with that in the media is they'll say, "Oh, everybody knows that the Holocaust is the worst thing that ever happened in living memory, because we've been telling you this for decades." And this woman sings songs mocking it. They won't get into the nitty gritty, because you see, that's sufficient. So what you're saying is this woman, she sung songs mocking the most heinous act in history. So, yeah, she should go to jail. She should be on trial. You see, that's how they start off. And then they do the same thing to Graham Hart, who you know. And they get him on a song initially, but they realise that, you know, it might look a bit silly if you're going out after someone else with a parody song. So let's see what else he's got. And they go through shows and they start picking out bits and pieces. Well, when you're an organized group that could do things like gang stalking, then you've got, if you or I had to listen to, you know, what I consider probably about 250 shows, I would have said Graham probably had. They were running at 2-3 hours a time. That would take forever. But if you say to 100 people, "Well, I want you to listen to two each," or something like that, you'd get that done the weekend. Just send us any things that we can use with a timestamp, and that'll be great. And so they came after him, and they went for him on that. And the family that I've heard on the radio, particularly his daughter, who Maleficus and I have had on before, were led to believe by their solicitor right up until the day of the trial that he was going to get a suspended sentence. And as a result, he was going to go down the free speech route, but they wouldn't let him. No, you're not doing that. You're not going down the free. Why don't you want to go down the free speech route? Well, they claim that they were shocked to be told on the day that, no, indeed, he will be going to prison. Because the reason they took the route that they did was because they believed it was a way that he would get a suspended sentence. And so presumably if they weren't told that, they might have explored the free speech route, but because they were told he was going to get a suspended sentence, they didn't even explore that. So I'm very suspicious as to why they weren't given, that they were sort of, according to the family, really dissuaded from going down that line. And then we had, this is where I think it comes from, what I'm going through at the moment. We had a trial lined up for a guy called Sven Longshanks of RadioAlbion.com. And many people may be familiar with him. He, like me, he's got a similar sort of operation in the sense that, well, he doesn't just do his own show. He hosts other people's show on there. So he hosts a bit of a network, but he's got his own website. He puts the shows up himself. He produces them himself. He records them himself, things like that I do, although I just do it for my own shows. He's also in the UK. Now, he was due to go on trial. Let me get the article for you here. He was due to go on trial in early July, and something happened, and they don't tell us what it was. They say it was because of a barrister's strike. Well, he was due to go on trial on the Monday of that week, and because of the barrister's strike, they just delayed it till the Wednesday. And then it was running okay, and then on the Friday, they decide to halt the trial and not delay it another 2 days, like they had with the Monday with the barrister strike, but delay it until the 20th of March, 2023. And I believe they were going to use that trial to further expand what they can get the public to accept as hate speech, and therefore to narrow the Overton window, which would enable them to come after, say, me next on the list. Because it was around that time that I was noticing these people in shops that I've been chatty with for like years. You know, this is like a few weeks or months, and suddenly they just ignore me. And I think that we need to go to this guy first. Something obviously happened at that trial that they're not telling us about. That's my opinion. And so now it's like, well, we'll use the gang stalking on him now because we can't wait until March next year to go after him, you see. So, as I say, it's when you're under this sort of pressure as well, it can be very difficult, but that's my assumption. And when I looked up targeted individual on Wikipedia, because I want to see what the enemy war transmissions are talking about, and it says the targeted individual may refer to the subject of mobbing, gang stalking, a targeted killing, or targeted surveillance. So if you click on gang stalking, get a load of this opening line. Gang stalking is a set of persecutory beliefs in which those affected believe they are being followed, stalked, and harassed by a large number of people. So straight away, it dismisses it completely. But as I say, the most serious event was Thursday of, not a couple of days ago, but the week before, when I was on a walk around where my mum lives, and someone literally pulled their car right into where I was, and I had to go on a jump up on a verge as I saw it approaching. It didn't cut, I could see where it was going, so I just moved over. It wasn't like I had to dive, you know, out the way, but I had to jump sort of out the way pretty quickly. And this was some guy who looked like he was just sat there, ignored me, didn't do anything, because this is what they do. They try and ignore you. So the way to handle it, I don't know how I'm going to handle it at the moment, but I'm not going to be dissuaded from, you know, going to shops or going, you know, for walks or what have you. I'm not going to have my freedom of movement restricted by this. But I am going to use the platform that I've got to report it and certainly give a voice to other people. And I already plan to be reading out some emails I've had about other people's targeted individual experience, because it's a lot more widespread. So I think that that's why this has suddenly been thrown onto me now, because the timing is very suspicious at the time that that trial was postponed. Yeah, so that's where I am with it. And it's one of those stories that's developing. So back to you, Giuseppe.
Well, Andy, that's an interesting story, and right. It's hard to dismiss these kind of personal accounts. I've heard similar tales from other people, and it's a bit disturbing, to say the least. You know, the interview's really flying by quickly, and I want to just briefly touch on your thoughts about, you know, here in America, they just passed the, you know, part of this sort of piecemeal of the new Green Deal under the absolute clown world moniker of the Inflation Reduction Act, which is the greatest clown world title to a bill I've ever heard, considering that government spending cannot reduce inflation. It can only do the opposite, obviously. But within this legislation, they have, you know, something like $350 billion for climate change remedies, which I think is going to be the next really big play by the globalists, or whatever you want to call them, this cabal, because it requires a global solution, just like Operation COVID hoax. It was a global problem that needed a global solution. And, you know, part of the bill, they have these absurd carbon scrubbers where they're just going to set up these multi-billion dollar machines that just are going to take carbon out of the atmosphere and somehow put it underground. And that's somehow going to have an impact on the climate, which is absurd given the size of the planet and how high up the atmosphere goes, all of this. And so I just want to get your take on, you know, climate change. I know that in England, they've shut down almost every coal power plant and partially dismantled it. And it seems like they're kind of setting us up for, you know, a great shortage of power, and what power there's going to be is going to be closely monitored and controlled. And now they're talking about there's a drought everywhere. There's a drought here. There's a drought there. You know, there's no water, you know. So I think this is a real push to limit our access to natural resources. So I want to get your take on that, because I think it's going to be a very big play coming up very shortly.
Thank you, Scorpio. Well, I'm just trying to look up something, because I think that what they're saying here is when they're talking about getting rid of carbon, they're talking about getting rid of humans, okay? Yes. Yes. I typed into webcrawler.com, how many percent carbon is a human being? and I've got this from blogs.nicholas.duke.edu, so some sort of academic institution here. About 50% of the dry mass of a human is carbon. So it's like, and then there was another one from answers.com, and this guy says 18.5% of the human body is carbon-based. So, you know, obviously both very, very different figures, but it's still significant. And to say we want to get rid of carbon, I think that that's where they're going. I think that essentially you've got a group that, as I mentioned earlier, there's going to be bloodlines that go back for generations. There's people from all around the world. I think that you're going to get your you know, bloodlines from places like potentially China and Japan and certain African countries and stuff that are going to be, these people are going to be kept alive. These people are what makes up the synagogue of Satan, I believe. And this vast group have probably already decided amongst themselves who are the best people to, how many people they need to, left to serve them, and what ethnicity these people need to be in order to serve them in the most subservient way, but also in the most productive way, okay? So they want people to be intelligent enough to serve them, but not intelligent enough to challenge them. And this is what I think that we're seeing with this big push with these vaccines. And only on yesterday's Perfect Triangle show, Giuseppe played the Tex Mars clip with Jeff Rentz. And that was from 2015. And he made he used the sort of Jews as collective as a group, but he was saying from what he'd obviously got from that area, that I think is broader and doesn't necessarily include all Jews. I think we pointed out things, a caller, funnily enough, to yesterday's show was pointing out people like Myron Fagan, Benjamin Friedman, people that I've played, Brother Nathaniel, people I've played on my show. Because I don't want to call someone out who's not guilty of something, because that's completely against my beliefs. But the way I see it is that there was a plan afoot, probably for decades, to use, I mean, even Rima Labo, herself Jewish, she's one of the greatest sources for this on the, what's his name? You know, I mean, the wrestler, Jesse Ventura. Jesse Ventura. You play that clip. Amazing. Back in, I think, 2009. You know, they're going to use under the cover of a vaccine. They're going to roll out to kill people. All these different things she was talking about. And this is what we see going on. Our own government documents tell us what's going on. And our media refuses to report it and instead aggressively promotes people getting it. So it seems to me that they feel right. This has been the plan all along to do some big culling of the people. And now we're going to do it because we've got enough control in order to hide any of the damage that it causes. But then at the same time, I think that they overplayed their hand. I don't think they had quite enough control, which is why they think that everyone will just go to get their stuff off Facebook and YouTube and all that. But people don't. People look for different platforms. And new places are popping up as quick as they can knock them down. So I think that they've misjudged, and it'll be very interesting to see what the upshot of this is, because there are people I talk to. I tend to be more of a pessimist. There are people I talk to that honestly think that this whole shooting match could come down in a matter of months and these people be exposed, and then a complete shift in our society take place where you can no longer go out, get yourself a banking license, print money out of nothing, charge that as interest to the people, become obscenely wealthy where you can afford to finance wars and then collect interest on that, that all this system will just go away and all the people that have benefited from it will be punished and their ill-gotten gains seized from them. And that's the only way I see the world turning around. And it'd be interesting if that is the upshot of it, because if they hadn't have pulled this idea of trying to force this dangerous substance into people's bodies, I don't think that we'd be where we are today. I think that there wouldn't be anywhere near the amount of people awake today as there are. And I think that a lot of them, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of them in the senior positions in this group I call the Synagogue of Satan aren't saying to themselves, we shouldn't have done this. We moved too early. If only we could turn the clock back, we should have waited a few more years. That's what I think's going on up there. And so now they're just lashing out like a rabid dog to try and, you know, rip at anybody who exposes them. But there are too many people doing it and they haven't got enough reach to go for everybody. So as soon as they take someone out, then someone else replaces them. So I don't know if that fully answers your question, Dave, but back to you.
Great answer. Great answer, absolutely. Well, we're coming down to the final couple of minutes. Giuseppe, why don't you take us on out, and what's your final comment or question for Andy?
Well, what a wonderful hour, and we definitely have to have Andy back soon. I'd like to just recommend to everyone, go to moneytreepublishing.com, and there's three items. The famous Synagogue of Satan, the other excellent book, In the Name of Yahweh, but most importantly, the MP3 audio series that Andy, Blackbird 9, and Golden Pipe Wrench did about Henry Ford's...